The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The offseason rolls on for the New England Patriots. No shortage of stories to talk about. The owners' meetings down in Orlando. Robert Kraft spoke yesterday at length. Bill Belichick spoke today at length at his breakfast. We had it live on Patriots.com at about 7:30 this morning, and he spoke for about 45 minutes with reporters. So a lot to talk about there. The Vince Wilfork situation is ongoing. Not a lot of new news there, but we'll take your calls and emails about that and where you stand with him. Guys are rehabbing. Guys are working out, getting ready for the season. It's all good here at Gillette Stadium, and we'll be talking about it for the next 2 hours here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. So where is everybody, by the way? Kevin's back. He's back in the booth from his two weeks in Puerto Rico. So he's all tanned and ready to go. Paul's coming in. Not sure where Andy is. And Eric is down in Orlando at the owner's meeting. You probably, if you saw him, if you were on Patriots.com this morning, you saw him at the table with Bill Belichick along with Jackie Britton. So they've been filing reports throughout the day yesterday, and they will also today. Paul's here. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Fred.
Did you get up this morning and watch Bill Belichick?
I did not.
No? Okay. I did. It was good. I thought that he covered a lot of ground. Didn't want to get into Vince Wilfork, not surprising. But he seemed to be a little bit bothered by some of the reports that were out there. He didn't say so in so many words, but you could tell he was a little peeved at some of the reports that are flying around about Vince Wilfork. And talked about some of the rule changes that the team has proposed. Talked about what else? What were some?
Well,
of the
just
bigger...
on the Wilfork thing, he specifically said check the veracity of that report.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
So I think that's about as much of calling out as you'll get out of Bill.
Yeah.
So clearly he didn't like the Wilfork stuff.
And then Robert Kraft spoke yesterday, clearly excited about being an owner for 20 years of the New England Patriots. Many references to that, the sustained success of the team. Talking about, he did comment on Mark Cuban's comments, which I think is a nice topic about Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks and the star of Shark Tank, said that, the league better watch out. He says that in 10 years, they're in store for an implosion if they're not careful about spreading themselves too thin and putting on too many games and too many nights. And obviously that affects the NBA a little bit where they overlap. But I don't think he was thinking about it more from a competitive standpoint. I think he was just talking about it just, you know, as an observer
right.
and a sports fan that, you know, if you get too greedy and you do too much, even the best of products get a little bit boring. And, you know, I think it wouldn't be a bad thing for the owners to at least consider that, especially when it comes to these Thursday night games and, you know, there's whispers of maybe Saturday games. You know, that's not all necessarily a good thing. So the league does need to be careful, and I think they realize that and probably would rather have an owner from another sport minding their own business. But, hey,
right.
you know,
right.
I think fans are telling him that too.
Well, the fans are telling him in some different things. I'm not sure that I agree with Cuban's stance on the different nights. I think I understand what his point is. You know, if you have games all the time, then there's nothing. You know, because to me, the number one thing the NFL has going for it, and I know you always disagree with me on this, but the number one thing to me that the NFL has is the one game a week. That makes every game an event. It's not one of 82 or one of 162.
Why do I disagree with that?
Because, well, you usually argue with, because I think that's the only thing that separates the sport. It's not about the sport. It's about you only play it once a week.
I think that's great. I think that's what makes it more attractive.
Oh, well, usually you argue with me because
I don't know about
you talk about other sports.
I'm going to argue with you about me arguing with you.
That sounds good. Yeah. We'll argue about something else. You already cost me time this morning.
No, but I agree. I think the exclusivity of the games, the separation once a week, the buildup of it once a week. Hey, that's why I have a job here.
Right.
But because back then it was like, why not do a weekly newspaper?
Right. Well, I think what Mark Cuban is trying to infer, I think, is that by playing on Thursdays and playing on Saturdays and playing on Sundays and Mondays, now you're sort of losing a little of that. I don't think you do.
Each team is still playing once a week.
I don't agree with the Thursday night games, but that's because I don't think the product is as good. Whereas, you know, if you play on Sunday or Saturday or Monday, to me, that's the same. It's one day different. To me, that's the same. Thursday, to me, you shouldn't play two games in 5 days.
Well, that's the thing. You know. I hate the Thursday games more from the team standpoint
right.
than from a viewership standpoint. I don't care how many people watch on Thursday. It's just not good for the teams.
Yeah, and I know that the ratings, you know, are probably going to be pretty good, at least initially. I don't watch a lot of Thursday night games in general, but that's probably because the matchups are usually really bad.
Right.
I
do because it's just better than anything else that's on, and I love football. So
yeah, I like good football, and I don't think the Thursday games generally are very good. Now, I watch a lot of the games that don't involve the Patriots over the weekends. When we have bye weeks, I'm glued to the TV just like I would be if it were the Patriots.
Right.
So it's not about the out of market games. I like watching the NFL games, and certainly who among us would miss playoff games if we had a choice.
What I think could really hurt the league if you combine more nights with more games, going to an 18-game schedule, and eventually more teams diluting the talent, I think a combination of all those things could lead to what Cuban's talking
about.
Yeah,
and that's where I would agree with Cuban in the you know, the 18 games, you know, and you know, Roger Goodell consistently says this is what the fans want. When you talk to fans, and no one seems to really want that. Now, if they played 18-game schedules, would they watch it? Of course we would. Of course we would. That doesn't mean that we think it's the right thing to do.
Right.
If my team's playing in games that count, I'm going to watch them. Just like we watch the preseason games. We don't like them, but it's our team. So of course we watch them.
Right.
You know, if you have it, we're going to watch it. That's where I think Cuban's right. Just because you're getting the ratings doesn't mean everything you're doing is right. And what, Andy, what's the quote? The Cuban's quote that you like to say over and over again?
Hogs get fat and they get slaughtered.
No, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
I don't believe that was a quote.
Yeah, he started with pigs. Anyway.
Anyway,
why
are you guys talking about this when I think Bill Belichick dropped a bomb this morning?
Well, we
talked about Bill Belichick.
Well, we started with Robert Kraft.
We're sort of setting
the fact that he said Wilfork apparently hasn't asked for a release.
Check the veracity. I mean,
that's a major news story coming out of Bill Belichick's mouth that rarely happens, first of all. You know, we can get all his, you know, great quotes on non-competitive plays and all that, but to me, verify that.
Yeah, we're going to get into that saying, in a second.
No, I don't agree with your premise. Maybe Wilfork didn't ask for his release.
Well, we're going to get into that second, but we just started with Robert Kraft going through the owner's meeting chronologically. So to wrap that up.
And Freddie's setting the table.
To wrap that up, you know, he did.
Burying the lead?
Robert did.
No, we already said that.
You know, Robert did comment on the Cuban things and said, you know, obviously citing the popularity and the ratings and believing that the CBS ratings will be crazy, and they probably will be. So, there's no doubt of the popularity of the NFL. So
I think Cuban, it's low-hanging fruit, as you would. He's going to be right. At some point, the NFL is going to decline in popularity because they've been too popular and growing for too long.
Right.
It's not limitless.
Right.
At some point, there's an end. So Cuban, it might be 10 years, might be 20 years, but they're not going to implode.
No.
He's a little being a little Andy Hartish.
Okay, so now we move to Bill Belichick this morning. 7:15 live on Patriots.com. Good job by Kraft Sports Productions to get that up on the website. So, Andy, you think the bombshell or the headline coming out of the breakfast was him questioning the veracity of the Wilfork report?
That's something you have to talk to Vince about, is the quote. I'm not going to talk about anything with any of our specific players. I'm not going to get into that. You need to talk to him about any of those statements. I think you should verify first. Now, he's not necessarily saying he didn't, but he's certainly calling into question the general assumption and belief that Vince Wilfork asked for his release.
Well, and
I read all those quotes. What was the question? Because you heard the press conference?
That's an issue. It was really hard to hear the question.
Because I'm wondering if anybody asked him about storming out of the locker room and ripping his nameplate off.
Yeah, that particular thing.
Because to me,
I believe that.
Oh, do you understand what I'm saying?
Because I think the source on that was Vince Wilfork.
No, but if the question was, did he do that, that's different than did he ask for his release. So what is he checking, asking people?
What's he asking the veracity
of? Right.
Sure.
Right. Much different.
But Robert Kraft did not shoot down Mike Reese. I could hear the question on that, asked about Vince Wilfork asking for his release, and Robert Kraft didn't shoot that down yesterday,
but you
could hear the question
and
very
we were
clearly.
Talking, Paul and I were talking, now the reports in the newspaper clearly said Vince Wilfork has asked for his release. But did he formally, like, talk in person to Robert Kraft or Bill Belichick and say, I want to be released? Or did he talk to a reporter and say, I want to be released? You know?
The original report was Rappaport, right?
I think it was Crabtree, yeah.
And I believe it has asked the Patriots for his release, but I'd have to go back and look.
Right.
Because that's bad reporting if he just said, I want my release, and Ian just goes,
right.
Well, did you tell them? I mean,
right.
I think the report indicated that he had asked for
that's
his
what
release.
I remember.
Was it an email? Like, was it like, hey, if you guys don't, you know, I want to start talking about this. I want my release. You know, what was the nature of it? You know, I don't know.
What was the tone?
Everything.
Gee, golly, guys, I want my release.
Everything to him gets down to semantics. It's amazing.
Well, you know, words count.
No,
I'd be thankful if you could give me my release.
I agree with you that there's a big, big difference between asking the team to release him and telling a reporter, I wish they would just release me. Those two things are not the same, and I agree with you 1,000%. But it doesn't matter to me the tone of his voice when he asked the team to release him.
Well,
does it matter to you the tone of him taking down his name?
If, in fact, he asked the team to release him, I don't care. Well, just release me then. That's asking for your release.
Well, what if one was on the phone saying to Bill, I want my release, and the other was an email, hey, if you guys aren't going to talk to me, release me in an email.
But they did talk.
No, I think the sense that I'm getting is Wilfork was frustrated because they hadn't talked in a while. That's the sense I got.
See, I took that as the sense on the Karen report yesterday. I assume the source on that, and this is just me assuming. I have no idea.
Right.
The first thing I thought of was two sources, Vince and Bianca Wilfork. Because there's only a few people that could have seen him and known he angrily tore down his nameplate.
And who would talk to a reporter.
Well, no, I would say there's only a few. I mean, there's, you know, higher ups, a coach could have been because they're not all in there.
No, but like equipment manager could have been in there, but he's not going to talk to a reporter.
Oh, I have no idea whether he would or wouldn't. I don't assume that. But to me, there's like 6 people that could have seen it, 10 people that could have seen it, a very limited number.
Right.
I assume that's Vince saying, I asked for my damn release 2 weeks ago, and nothing has happened. Now I want people to know I'm pissed, that I took my stuff. I'm ready to leave, to get it out there, to try to...
Sure.
Because I think you can put the screws to him and release him on August 31st.
Which is, I think, going to happen in this thing.
And he doesn't want that to happen. So I just generally jumped to the conclusion that that was him. But I think the Bill thing is interesting on the heels of Robert. Robert was asked specifically about him asking for his release. Not did he, but the Mike Reese's question basically said, you know, Vince has asked for his release, and Robert just answered it and said, you know, his usual, they want him back, and, you know, takes two sides, all that stuff. Bill is telling us to verify. Bill is telling us, you sure about that? That's basically what he's saying. Verify.
Right.
So he's calling into question the whole topic at hand, the whole idea. Right? Because there's no issue.
And that's the only reason why I asked what the question was. What is he calling into question? That's the only thing.
Well, I have no idea because
there's no There's no doubt from listening to the answer that he's calling whatever the question was, he's calling that into question.
Right.
If that makes any sense. He's calling the question into question.
I have no doubt about it because, you know, if he ripped his nameplate down, which story I happen to believe because I trust Karen. I think she's a really good reporter.
Yeah.
More than I trust Crapsheet. But he wouldn't be ripping down his nameplate if he didn't ask for his release.
Actually, he doesn't own that. That's not his to have. That's property of the team.
Well, it's just a piece of paper, sticker.
I know, but
still. We've reached that point where we're going to file a grievance to get his name tagged.
Do I have to give mine back from the Super Bowl? Because I'm pretty sure I took mine home.
Wow, he really is out, huh? You want his nameplate back.
No, I'm just saying.
In case we ever get another Will Fork who wears 75, we can reuse it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so.
But to Andy's point,
if he comes back, is he going to put it back up?
Let me ask you a question. His kid is a sophomore?
I think he will be a sophomore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's going to be a sophomore.
I was just wondering, you know, like, we think.
Just one of them. He's got more than one kid.
No, I know, but that's a big one.
Yeah.
You're at Zavarian. You're a pretty good football player. You are mildly entrenched. If you're in whatever the other ages are, I think high school is kind of a big deal, in my opinion,
yeah,
as a parent and as a student.
Yeah.
I assume he's going to end up in Florida long term. I think his home is going to be Florida.
Right.
But for right now, does his children and where they're going to be in the fall, specifically a child who's in high school playing football at a very high-level school, does that have any value? Or would Bianca just stay here and he could go to Kansas City?
That's one of the things that are frustrating them. They don't want to uproot.
Right.
They want to stay here.
But I just wonder if that's a consideration in this whole process. Because I don't believe that he hasn't asked for his release.
Yeah.
And it should be. I mean, you're a parent. You have some responsibility to your children.
You want some consistency and stability and all that.
Especially, like I said, he's playing for a good football school. If the kid has aspirations, Zavarian's a pretty good football school.
It's not Everett, but... No. I was actually going to make fun of Massachusetts in general. If that was...
Go to Texas if you really...
He's from Miami.
Yeah. Florida would be a great place.
Right.
But he is entrenched here.
Yeah. That's...
I don't know how good he is.
Right. That's a different...
I don't just assume he can go to Florida and he'll immediately play and fall. You know, there are people ahead of you that have been here for a year or two.
Yeah.
As Zavarian, he's ahead of people.
The comfort level that Andy brings up, I totally get.
He knows the system.
And you don't want to break your kids out of multiple years.
Right. Charlie Stevenson wouldn't want that.
I don't know who that is.
He's the head coach of Zavarian. And by the way,
guy does a coach's clinic and he's out to throw around high school coaches.
Where's he from?
No idea.
Is he really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. So
it's the hub of football.
But it's interesting. You know,
happens to all their good players? How come we're not talking more about Everett players? How come we lose track of them?
Well, they go to college and then they don't go to the pros. I mean, some of them go to the pros, but not many. Omar Easy went to the pros.
But I think the bottom line...
Somerville, Medford?
The thing that puts us at a disadvantage with this whole Will Fork thing is we have no idea what the team is asking him to take, and we have no idea what Vince Will Fork expects.
But what we do know is Vince apparently doesn't want to take what they want him to take,
right?
And the team doesn't want to give him what he wants them to give him.
What is the gap?
No idea.
You know, are both sides being unreasonable?
Yes.
I don't know.
Fred and I talked about this.
I generally assume that's how negotiations work.
But it's impossible to have a real opinion on the whole thing without knowing what the negotiations are.
And that, I think, is weird. We haven't seen a single hint at a number.
Right.
People have speculated, but I have not seen anyone put a number on page that is even loosely attributed to any knowledge.
The only thing I'm pretty sure of is that this isn't your typical extension where they just move the money out. This is an extension with less money for Will Fork. I think...
You mean this year? So it's a pay cut.
It's a pay cut.
Yeah, I'm not sure of that.
I have no idea.
Then what's he bitching about?
What are they offering for the extension?
Well, yeah, but if you're going to get your money, fine. I don't think he's going to get his – he's not going to make as much money with what – that's just my assumption that he's taking a haircut. You know,
I have no idea.
You might be right. You might be right.
I don't see why he would be so pissy if that wasn't the case.
If he thinks he could make a lot more if they just released him, then he would be pissy. I don't understand what was hard to understand about that.
No, well,
but I tend to agree with you. I think he's going to get less money.
Yes.
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
That he's not just taking $6.5 million off salary. We're extending bonus. Boom,
right.
Boom, boom.
I agree with him, too. But what I'm saying is we don't know either way.
We don't.
And
we
it
don't
could
know.
Be that they're just offering
So let's talk about it.
Ridiculous. Let's take the next hour and 45 minutes and weigh in. It's really hard to say Vince is being really pigheaded on this and he should just take what they're offering him when you have no idea what they're offering him. And at the same time, it's hard to be the Borges and say, oh, the team is screwing Vince without knowing what the team is offering.
Right.
But isn't it a little bit easy to do both because of history? We know Vince is emotional, sensitive. So we've been the focus of some of that in the past. And we know the team is going to try to negotiate, or if Borges wants to spin, you know, screw the player, however you want to term it. So both are that he's being overly sensitive,
yeah,
because he is wont to do that, as Paul Perillo would say, and that
know.
The team is being overly
frugal
because they are wont to do that.
But we also know in these situations that as many times as they don't get done, they get done.
Sure.
And so that means that both sides probably have wiggle room whenever these things come up.
But it all comes down to leverage.
Yeah.
And I don't believe Vince has a ton of leverage right now because
the injury.
He's under contract.
The injury.
Well, even beyond that, though,
he's under contract
and they can hold on to him.
He's old, and they can hold the hammer that Andy brought up about 10 minutes ago. They can wait until training camp unfolds. Don't forget.
So he can scream and bitch as much as he wants, but what's his leverage? What is his?
You know what I think his leverage is? Robert Kraft. I think Robert Kraft likes him enough where they're even still talking, or probably will talk. I think Robert Kraft is his leverage.
That's a dangerous game to play
is.
A lot of different angles.
Oh, I know. It's a
his
fan.
Angle, the Patriots angle.
Because
if you're Robert, I at least am careful because, well, Bill's telling me they want to do this football-wise.
Sure.
Now I'm becoming meddlesome.
Absolutely.
So I got to be careful.
That. Yep. Especially, you know, with this type of money. And I think if the money wasn't a factor, he'd obviously be here. No doubt about
it. See, I think if the injury wasn't a factor, it would be a slam dunk. They would just do an extension. I don't think it would be that hard to.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said the injury really screws
huge.
Him. Yeah.
And I also think it also helps the Patriots, the injury. Because I think you can sell me as a fan, I had to wait. No,
right.
no, no, I wasn't trying to screw him.
Right.
I had to wait to see what, and he's just not right. He's not the same. I can't carry him.
And you're hearing a lot of that on the radio.
And I think that's believable.
Yeah.
But
I mean, a lot of the people that are calling in, and I would tend to agree. It's the guy's 32 coming off a major injury, and, you know, he's not probably worth that kind of money.
You know, and Paul, you know, you might be right, in fact, that we don't know that they haven't, and the extension doesn't include all his money, but it could have that provision of the 46 on game day, where if you're part of the 46, you get the money.
This
but
new
if
thing
you're
now,
inactive,
that's, you know, these game day bonuses, you know, and it's not just being on the active roster bonus, it's game day roster, 40, you know, the 46, which I think is opening up a big can of worms for teams, by the way. I can't believe the players agreed to that. You know, the guy's on the edge. This is not about Vince per se. This is just in general. The guy's on the edge, game time decision. Well, I'm going to err on the side of caution.
Right.
That's a bad precedent to set.
Turn your mic off when you're chewing.
Oh, sorry. Could you hear me?
Eric.
Yeah,
you can hear that.
Eric's really bad at it. Last week, he had something big in his cheek.
He talks. He's like
like a chipmunk. He's got a big wad of something in his cheek, and he's
and he's like dipping his bread in the sauce and eating it.
Another. My guess is, Fred, part of this could be a pay cut, could be a shave, as you like to say. But there's also the possibility that, speaking of Eric Scalvino,
he's trying to
something
call
wrong
in.
With the phone lines, trying to call, getting
no,
busy.
The phone lines are all The phone lines are stacked. No room for you at the inn.
And let's be honest. However many there are, 4, 5, 6, they're all more interesting than Eric.
Of course they are. One of them's Eldridge. One of them's Christian.
Even the guy in Atlanta who just wants to be known is
Andrew
more interesting
than Eric.
Andrew
and Nolan, it's a blowout. They're all waiting.
But don't you think he has utter, unbelievable confidence in himself as an athlete who's never been hurt before this?
Right.
So even if they're just doing a simple restructure, if they're giving me my money over the next 3 years but giving me base salaries of nil, whatever, $792,000.
That's what I was suggesting.
He's saying, no. A, I want my money, but B, I want to be paid like the Pro Bowl defensive tackle I think I'm going to be. And you're trying to screw me and give me veteran minimum salaries.
Right.
Homie, don't play that.
Right.
And I could see, that's why I said, even if he weren't asked to take a haircut, as you said, he could still be upset.
Right.
Even though I think that you guys are right, I think that the more likely scenario is probably that they're asking him to take a little bit less, and they'll tack on a couple of years so they could spread it out. But, you know, again, it's hard. We don't
know. He can't get more money this year, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to make more than $7
million
himself.
He's not getting more than
$7.5 million. But over 3 years, if you tell me you're trying to pay him $795,000, there's other people that will pay him a couple mil.
Say $2 million a year the next 2 years, $4 million. He could get more than $4
million. To me, that's probably the hang-up. I think looking at it from afar with absolutely zero knowledge of the situation, that could be the hang-up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Andy talked about the whole thing with Will Fork, the ripping the nameplate down. You know, he's probably Vince. You know, this. You know, it also, I agree with him. It's probably Vince. Vince and Bianca probably talking to the reporters because we know that they have good relationships with all of us. I mean, I say all of us because I feel like we have
except
that
when we
too.
Pick against him.
But don't forget, it could be anybody in here for an off-season program, any player. I think it could be any player that Karen knows.
Yep.
You know, she
and
easily could have
talked to.
There's
been a lot of players here working out.
Yeah. You know, a lot of guys that have been injured, that have been in and out of the facility. So
it could be anybody.
What I agree with, and someone asked me this yesterday on Twitter, and I said, I have no reason to not believe the report. It comes from the best beat reporter on our beat, and that's Karen. She doesn't make stuff up. When she breaks stuff, it's real. It's legit.
Did you not get her job? You got her job at the Herald, didn't you?
She predated me by plenty.
You dated her?
Predated me by a lot.
That
means
we would have had a story if you
dated
her.
That means that she was there a long time before me, Andy.
So you dated her before or after the Inside Track girl?
Unbelievable.
You predated her.
There was another, I know that the Vince stuff and the whole Belichick quote is the news of the day, but I thought, I don't know if you guys, we haven't talked about this yet. Really interesting, strong quote from Robert Kraft, definitively saying we are not signing Kenny Britt in Ron Borges' column today.
We're not going to sign him.
We will not sign him.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know.
Why is that?
Well, evidently he passed the threshold, whatever the threshold happens to be. He talked a lot about during the Hernandez situation, and this was in Ron's column as well, about taking a closer look at our hiring policies and whatnot, and he talked about Brandon Browner the day before and sort of made some quotes that I'm paraphrasing here, but it's not as if he had some violence against women kind of things that I would be uncomfortable with, but you can see sort of there's a difference here. You know, Browner had his problems with the league, and Britt's had many, many problems with the law. And some of them were violent related. One of them was a stabbing. His brother got stabbed. He supposedly wouldn't cooperate with police, went back to the house that the stabbing took place. There were gunshots fired. No one knows about his involvement there.
It happens.
Maybe, you know, this is a situation where this guy passed a threshold. And whatever that is, that's Robert's threshold. I mean, he doesn't have to explain it.
Do you think that's what happened, though? Or do you think they had a bunch of receivers on the radar, and if Edelman had signed elsewhere and LaFell had signed elsewhere, we might have signed Britt?
I am Patriots.com, so I believe that's what happened. If you're asking me, Paul Perillo, I think what you just said.
Yeah. And they didn't have to make a decision. They were just doing research,
right.
And the other things fell into place, so they never had to make that, all right, are we signing him? Are we comfortable signing him or not? They never had to, but I tend to think there was also a numbers game going on. Why are you squinting at the call
because
screen?
Because Eric is on
the
line.
You don't have to say that. That has nothing to do. Just keep talking.
No, but see, people want cameras in here, and we can't offer that. So at the very least, I can tell them when you make faces. And
Sights
look.
And Sounds of PFW in Progress by Andy Hart.
All right.
In between tortilla chips.
Can you really not see that?
What?
Did you really have to squint and look like that?
I just.
Do you have a glasses issue?
Listen,
you have a hang-up.
Do you wear readers?
I should. I haven't.
Did you know you can ask for readers at restaurants?
Readers at restaurants?
Matt Smith at the Combine.
Is that someone that comes and reads the menu
for
you?
No, at Weber Grill, he said, is it possible that I could get some readers? And the waiter
that's
brought
sanitary.
Glasses.
I don't want to wear that. I do have an eye appointment for April 2nd, I think.
You're the height of sanitation.
Right, bumping butts.
Let's go to Eric Scalavino, who is calling in from Orlando, the owner's meeting. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. I hope your eyesight's okay, Freddie.
We're doing all right. Andy's just going off again. What's going on there? We saw you at the breakfast. We've been talking about it at length, some of Bill Belichick's comments. But what's the buzz after the breakfast?
Well, I think the most buzz has been generated by this one tweet that I sent out about his answer to not showing up in the coach's photo yesterday. The all 32, which was only all 31,
right,
because he was conspicuous in his absence. And he said, yeah, I missed it. Maybe you can Photoshop me in it. And thanks to Adam Schefter, who retweeted that, Twitter blew up. Sniff. And it's gone. That's what everyone is really talking about there, because that was a huge story yesterday. And I'm not really sure why, because he misses it every year.
Well, it's the same thing with the smiling. But I think the funnier thing is that not only are people retweeting it, but people are actually Photoshopping him in.
Yeah.
And somebody did him in the pirate suit, which is immediately what I thought. If you're going to use a picture, use him of when he was dressed as a pirate for Halloween.
I didn't see that one. I saw the one they put him on every coach.
Everyone, I saw that one too. But I think that's funny.
So we can now do that in the paper, right?
Sure.
Because he told us to.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Actually, you're right. That's a good loophole.
We'll Photoshop him in.
I do as I'm told.
Right.
Oh, but on a serious note, because that really is, you know, what people have been talking about down here. But on a more serious note, he spoke at length about his four rules change proposals and was very passionate in explaining why he decided this year, after so many years of basically complaining about it unofficially, to submit official proposals. And I thought that was very interesting, and I think he made a lot of sense. Really, all of his points were really valid. He made cogent arguments for all of them, and I.
Who is this that we're talking to?
No, really. I mean, he makes sense on the and we've talked about it on the show. Raising the goalpost, that's a no brainer. I mean,
absolutely.
Just do it. He was also agreeable to amending maybe the 25-yard line for the extra points. He said, you know what, we'll discuss it. We'll talk about it if someone has a better idea. I'm flexible with that.
Well, I have the answer for that one. We'll get into that later, but go ahead.
Okay. But I think...
I don't believe you, Eric. He's agreeable to something?
Well, he said he was. I'm just quoting. I'm just, you know, restating...
I've been covering him 14 years. Never heard him be agreeable to anything.
But if that's the case, that helps, I think, give that proposal a little bit better chance of passing.
Well, sure.
If it's in some amended form.
The idea is to get the ball rolling, and then we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Right. And as far as the cameras on the cameras on the end lines, he kind of made a joke about that. You know, we should have a bake sale or a car wash to raise the money for it, because that was one of the issues that came up, was how much it would cost to add all of those things. But he was very, very passionate about the... allowing the coaches to challenge any play, because his argument, basically, you could whittle it down and distill it to this, which was, if fundamentally we want to get things right, we should review everything.
Sure.
And I think that's a really great point, and I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be passed, but that's really not in his hands anymore. It's been presented to the competition committee membership, and as early as tomorrow, they could vote on them. They I think, are done for the day voting on proposals. They pushed the bid off at least until tomorrow. My guess is they won't get to all of them. Maybe they'll push some of them off to May, give people some time to chew on some revisions maybe to some of those proposals. But we could have a little bit of news about that tomorrow. I'm not really expecting a whole lot. Things have sort of wound down here for the most part. I think some of the big wigs are starting to depart because most of the official business has already been taken care of.
So are you doing this phone call from a convertible on the highway?
No, I'm actually outside to try to escape some of the
autograph seekers.
The chatter and the hubbub that's going on inside the Ritz-Carlton. But the weather's been very cloudy, windy, a little cold, rain. It's been very un-Florida-like the past couple of days, and the forecast is calling for that the rest of the week for anybody who's staying or is in town.
So you and Jackie UK won't be hanging out by the pool later.
It doesn't look like it. Oh. No, that's unfortunate. But
you'll be coming back into a blizzard, correct?
Well, I'm going to try to beat that. I'm going to try to beat it into town, but we'll see how that goes.
Storm of the century potential if it goes about 75 miles left.
That's what I keep hearing. Or we could get virtually nothing.
Right.
So it's still up in the air as usual. But you know, it's been a very active owners meeting. I'm sure you've talked about Robert's comments yesterday as well. He had plenty to say on certain things. So it's been, you know, the Patriots, as usual, have been very active participants in this meeting. Belichick's table was just overflowing with media. And I look over at John Fox, you know, the coach who was in this year's Super Bowl, didn't win it, but he was in the Super Bowl. And you could, I mean, we could have gone over there and taken some of the extra chairs because we needed them for all the people that were at Belichick's
table. That'd be embarrassing. You go up to five. Anyone sitting here?
Are you using this chair?
Hi, Coach.
Right.
Remember, he should get, remember, was it Waylon, the guy who won the Indianapolis 500 and had the T-shirts made that said, like, I'm actually the guy who won the race because he was mad at Danica for getting all the attention?
Oh, really?
Fox should get one says, I'm actually the guy who won the AFC title.
Right.
But, you know, the funny thing is I bet you all those coaches think, and Bill certainly among them, would think it would be great if he could sit at the table and have everybody go to someone else's table.
You see him just eating. He's cutting up his omelet or whatever.
Reading the USA eating. Today.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
Fred, you said you had an answer to one of the proposals.
Yeah, for the extra point, the easy solution is find out what the made percentage was when extra points started, you know, when they started kicking them. And let's say that's 80%. And then find out what 80% equals in today's NFL in terms of made field goals and move the extra point there. So it's back to
62 yards.
Back to the you know, the made percentage of when you first started the rule.
I don't like it.
So suddenly,
and it could turn out to be 43 yards out. I, you know, whatever.
Ernie Adams has already done the work.
Right, probably. Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's over
50. It would be funny, though, if the average ends up being, you know, an NFL record for field goal length.
Right.
It'll be the extra point now. So
right.
If you get an extra point, you not only get the 1 point after the touchdown, you get an NFL record. Good for you.
I did find it interesting. I didn't know that a field goal of less than 20 yards has not been missed in a decade.
Is that right?
Bill threw that out there.
According to Bill, yeah. I mean, I think you should verify, but, you know.
That's true. Isn't that your boy, isn't that a Reagan take on something?
Trust but verify. That's what he said about
Bill didn't even say trust. Yeah. He just said verify.
Right. Well, you know, that's the HC of the NEP.
All right, Eric. Well, thanks for calling in. Don't get too sunburned down there.
No, I can't. There's no sun out.
I'm only kidding. All right.
All right, guys.
We will see you when you get back.
Safe travels.
Okay. Eric Scalavino calling in from the owners' meetings.
In cloudy Orlando.
The phones are stacking up here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, so why don't we get people off of them. Andrew's in Buffalo. I just dropped him. He was hanging on for 35 minutes, and I hit the wrong button.
Andrew, please call back.
Totally my fault. Andrew from Buffalo, if you call right back, we'll get you right on. Chris with a TIAN is the lucky recipient of my screw-up. Hey, Christian.
All right. Hey, guys. What's happening?
Nothing much.
All right. Well, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to the PFW Elite Facebook page and their one-year anniversary. Edwin Correll created the page about a year ago, and it's been nothing but immature humor for 365 days, so let's keep it up.
Okay.
And
Preamble
the J, babe. And thoughts on the Wolf Fork thing? I think you guys... You know, I'll make valid reasons about why he probably won't be back. And the injury really is in the age is the whole thing. And that type of injury for that type of guy really is just, you know, it's very hard to come back from, according to everything I read anyways. The question I had for you guys is the first, he got hurt in the fourth game last year, right?
Correct.
So the first three games. Have you guys gone back, or as you know, anybody that's gone back, because I really can't remember, other than the Jet game, I remember him getting pushed around. But do you remember him not playing well?
Well, that's now what people are saying, is that he wasn't exactly lighting it up to begin the season.
Yeah, but was he getting, like, you know, like steamrolled? Like,
not that I know of.
Like Nick Mangold? Like,
yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember the Jet game, he didn't play that well. And I actually remember Andy coming on. And saying that he didn't, that it was a couple of plays where he got, like, pushed around. That
really?
I remember.
You remember things I don't remember.
I know for a fact, though, in game three, that there was talk of him being, you know, he had a bum ankle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But you make a leap to connect that to the Achilles that I'm not willing to make.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm just saying that there might have been a game in game three where he wasn't 100%, and that could have contributed to him not having a good game. You know?
Yeah. There was definitely a sub level of Will Fork not quite himself. Now it's grown. Hindsight is he's stucked, you know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sort of what people are saying. And like I said, I can't remember, but I do remember you saying, I think it was like he got double teamed by Mangold and Brandon Moore one play or something, I think. And you were like, Will Fork against steamrolled. It was like, you know, it was one play.
Well, then it's true.
Play,
well, forget that. I think maybe, it might have been more that, you know, we were waiting for that jump by Chandler Jones. Tommy Kelly was on the field, you know, Ninkovich, and maybe we were thinking, well, you know, Jones should be getting some attention that he didn't get before. Wilfork should be benefiting from this, and maybe we weren't seeing more than usual from Wilfork. I don't know, but I don't remember this big talk about Wilfork being subpar.
It was not big.
Yeah.
Was a undercurrent.
Yeah.
It's big now.
Oh, yeah.
It's big now. it's big that he was playing poorly before the injury now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I asked.
But I'm not buying into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
At all?
All right.
Not really, no. All right,
see
Christian.
See you, Christian.
Thank you. All right, Andrew from Buffalo is back on. Andrew, sorry about that. I hit the wrong button.
Oh, no, it's okay. How y'all doing?
Good.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was just wondering, I don't know if y'all talked about it much, but the safety, the guy we picked up from Arizona, Wilson, is his health okay?
Nope.
I don't know.
He's recovering from an Achilles, according to his own Twitter feed.
So he's not getting better.
Oh, no, he's getting better, but...
He's supposedly working out in Arizona with some of the other Patriots.
He tweeted out maybe a month and a half ago now that, you know, first day running or something to that effect. So that means he's progressing, but he's not where he would be had he not torn his Achilles
right.
and started
and
running.
The problem is he didn't tear his Achilles at the beginning of the season. We don't know exactly when he tore that Achilles.
It was sometime post being put on IR with a torn hamstring or a hamstring injury.
I would like to know all of the details of this.
I don't think you ever will, because I don't think you'll ever speak with Adrian Wilson again.
And I agree with Andy. I don't think we'll ever find out, but to me there's something that doesn't add up in this whole situation.
Yeah, something stinks?
Yeah, I'm a little worried, because it's like, I mean, I don't know how much he's making, but isn't it significantly a lot against the cap?
A couple million.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's not a ton.
And I think that Andy's right. I don't think he'll be part of the equation in 2014.
That's why we need Deion Buchanan, baby.
But you don't, I mean, they don't have to make a move until they need to sign somebody or, you know, until they need cap space. And, they may not have to make a move until you play it all the way out through training camp and see what you have.
And I've said this before. I also wonder if it's just a mere technicality of he has to come to fail his physical and then they can cut him
I think
physical.
There's a chance of that, too.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why you wouldn't just send a doctor to him and fail him. I don't know how all that works.
Before the injury, didn't y'all say that he wasn't really running very well?
No, he looked terrible.
I am of the belief that he would have been cut. Andy and I share that belief, that had he not been placed on injury reserve, he would have been cut.
But the team may know stuff we don't know. So, like, for example, maybe that hamstring was tweaked and then he tore it, but one of the reasons why we think he didn't look good was because he had a tweaked
certainly
hamstring.
Certainly a viable...
We don't know.
Certainly a viable scenario.
Yeah.
Why was Rob Gronkowski blowing by him week two the year before?
Rob Gronkowski is Rob Gronkowski.
Why? Yeah, he's not all that fast.
Yeah, my question is why?
He's not really a deep threat, and he made him look like he was standing still.
Yeah, now he may have been dealing with some sort of injury in training camp, and that made him look bad at the training camp field, but the fact is the year before that, playing in a place that he had a tremendous amount of success and was revered, he had lost his job.
Yeah.
That, to me, spoke volumes.
Yeah.
He's done.
You can't argue with that.
Time waits for no man.
Yep. All right, Andrew, thanks for calling in.
Should I go with all the... He had one more thing. Okay.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Well, call back a third time. We'll let you through.
You can email. Eldridge from North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. Good show as usual.
What's up?
Thanks, Andy, for the shout-out last week because I heard the podcast. And you're right. I'm not happy with the down wide receiver. Never will be.
Never will be.
That's true. And at least you admit it.
Just get some on the outside that can scare a defense.
Oh, what about DeSean Jackson? Have you weighed in on that yet?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I would give, if they wait, they release him, I shoot a better number than what the Jets get him because they got Vic as a leverage. You know what I mean? I would do that.
But you're going to have to pay him. If he gets released, there's going to be decent interest, and you're talking about a decent contract. I don't foresee him as just, I'm going to take, somebody asked me as a prove it deal. Oh, I'll take one year for $6 million, prove it. 1 year, $5 million, prove it. No, I don't. I think he's going to be looking for a legit contract to get paid again.
I think he is too. And that's, you know, if we get him, I rush up the trade instead of wait till they get released. You know, cause him and the coach count buddies. But I know them going to go into play life, but what I would do is just give him a good draft pick, man.
So you would trade for his $10 million salary?
Either that or who else you got out there, man? Who else you got out there right now?
Well, just to be clear, they have receivers. You may not be all that excited with them and like them and all that, but they have. I mean, some people think that there's already a bunch of locks on the roster, and there's like one right. spot that's open.
That's the thing.
It's not like the cupboard is bare. You may not like the contents of the cupboard, yeah. but the cupboard's not bare.
I think you could sign players that would be better than the locks.
Yeah, but they've signed guys that seem to be locks. Amendola, Edelman, and LaFell, based on their money, and seem right. to be locks.
And then, you know, if you really believe in Dobson and Boyce.
Right, which Bill yeah, did right. as late as February.
Right. Yeah, that's an argument for that they probably will not be making any more moves for there. Yeah. But I think you can get better players than the ones they have.
Oh, I would agree, yeah. except yeah. you have the ones you have.
That's my point. That's my point right there. Better than what we got. And back for Ben, well, like I said, weeks ago, I saw a report. Him and his wife was outside, and they was a press conference with a bunch of reports.
That didn't happen. I don't know what you saw or what you were mistaking, but I don't believe he's held a press conference unless I fell asleep and missed
Who, Vince?
Yeah,
no,
Vince has not held.
As a Bill is saying, no. you know, somebody he's Bill's challenging people to talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think you may have seen an old something.
He has not held a press conference.
By all accounts, okay. he's been on vacation.
Out of the country.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how that is.
Right.
Can't ever get in contact with somebody who's out of the country.
All right, Eldridge.
Certainly not in this day
call.
And age. Maybe 30 years ago you could have done that, but not in this day and age with all
Send
the
him
technology.
A beep, 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 beep.
Let's go to California, Nolan.
Can't find an airplane.
Hey,
how
Nolan.
Are you going to find Vince Wilfork?
Hey, what's up, you guys?
What's up, Nolan?
Hey, I know you guys are talking about Wilfork, but is it likely that this whole Wilfork situation could be related to Jared Allen?
How so?
Like, maybe they're waiting for Wilfork to, like, leave and then bring in Jared Allen to come kind of replace Wilfork because Jared Allen did say he would sign over the weekend and he hasn't signed.
Well, they don't have to wait for Wilfork to leave. They could just release
they
him.
They could release him if they wanted to do that. And Jared right. Allen didn't say he would sign over the weekend. He said he was going to take the weekend to think about
right.
his different options. The last
okay.
I saw on Friday.
I did think he said I thought he said he was going to make a decision over the weekend.
I thought he may have said that he expected to make a decision over the weekend, but I didn't think he was. I might be pulling a Fred there. We might be parsing words.
But I don't think they're related in any way, really.
No, well.
I mean, I'd love to think they were because I, in a heartbeat, would swap out Wilfork for Jared Allen.
But the Jared Allen thing is odd to me, too, in that he continues to sort of. Go to these different teams and multiple talks, and I'm not sure he knows what he wants.
Well, that's
well, I think he wants to
I
be
think
paid.
He honestly doesn't know what he wants at this point.
Jay Glazer quoted him saying, "I have a number that I will not play for less than."
Right, right. And he has said that he will retire.
Right, but
he
I mean, if he has a specific number and they're not meeting it, okay. I mean, that's,
now if he
and
means
but
that,
if the team says, "Well, let me think," or,
well, but they, but they if might, he means that, like he really means that, like I have a number in mind, and he hasn't gotten that number, then you can put the Patriots out. They're
yes,
not gonna,
that
they're
is.
Not
but it also
it,
could be
gonna...
the way in which the team is coming to that number. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know, so that could be a factor too.
True.
Yeah, it's $30 million, Jared. But here it is. It's built this.
That
way.
Could put the Patriots back in. No, this is the way.
Wait, that looks a lot like $1 million.
Oh no 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 no! You got to look at it from the left.
All right, thanks guys.
All right,
no, thanks Nolan.
Nolan's had enough of us. All right, webradiopatriots.com. Tim writes in, he's from Canton.
Timmy.
I was watching Bill's breakfast conference this morning on Patriots.com and presented by Dunkin' Donuts, but I didn't see Eric or anyone from PFW in progress. Was it a late night? I doubt it was a girl. No, Eric was there.
Eric was right there, front and center.
He was three people from the left of Bill, but the way they were zoomed in, you couldn't see him. But he was right there at the table.
What did he ask him?
Nothing. You guys have a great show. I download the podcast and listen as I'm driving throughout the week. It's much better than listening to broadcast radio. That's for sure.
I agree.
Yeah. Balarco writes in. Ever since Lombardi joined the Patriots, we have been making awesome moves in free agency. Is it a coincidence, or does his input have a great effect on Coach Belichick's decision-making?
Coincidence.
Also, where are we with Wilfork's situation? I read an article on Nesson's website that he cleared his locker and stuff, right? Well, we've been talking about that.
Boy, does Karen get screwed.
Yeah.
That was a Karen Garigian report.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you blog it and make it nondescript.
Yeah, that was an error on her part, blogging that. That's a story. That's borderline back page Boston Herald.
She had to figure that she wasn't the only one that knew about it.
Sal at the University of Virginia, it seems like every year reports come out about Bill skipping some event or another at the league meetings, and I know he isn't part of the union. I was wondering if you all know why he isn't and why he insists on not showing up to these things.
He does not play well with others.
I have no idea why he's not in the coaches' union, and I have no idea if that's the reason why he doesn't do the photo.
Yeah,
I know that's the reason everybody uses for it.
So all 31 of those guys are in a union and he's not?
Yeah, it's the Coaches Association. And what's funny about it...
I don't know that either.
It's what's funny about it, EA Sports, when they do Madden...
No, that I knew.
All the coaches are in it except Bill, and there's a guy's name that they use instead of Bill's, and I forget, it's a funny name that if you want to be Bill Belichick... Or
I thought it was any coach.
No, there's a name. There's an actual name that somebody, Darren Rovell or somebody, tweeted out the other day.
See, that I have no problem with Bill. Like, if you're making money off me and I don't see any, I'm fine, but taking a picture to me is not the same as that.
Yeah, that's why I know a lot of people just say, well, he's not in that coaches association, so he can't be in the photo. I don't know that to be true.
No, that's not true because Sean Payton was in it this year, and I don't think he's
in the
association.
And he's not in the coaches association?
At least he wasn't up until last year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he is now, and maybe that is the reason why Bill doesn't do it. I don't know. I just fall back on
he does not play well with others.
I find it funny that people just... They make these statements, you know, as points of fact that I'm not sure they're facts.
Nah.
Say it like
that. Nick in Victoria writes in, I just read Eric's article and I have a question. What does it mean?
How did he
no,
get
I'm only
his job?
Kidding. Can you explain why we get a compensatory pick and maybe just the entire idea behind them? They just seem odd to me. I don't think PFW is going to get any picks when Andy gets signed by EEI. So why do the Patriots?
That's the way it works. It's part of the free agent problem.
Yeah. Explain it, because some people may not know.
It's just based on the net gain or loss of free agents the previous year. Unrestricted free agents, not anybody that's cut. So, for example, the Bucks will not get a compensatory pick, even though they saw the best corner in the game go to New England. You cut him, so he's not a compensatory pick guy. And the Patriots got a fourth-round pick because Welker left, Amendola came, whoever else.
They lost Donald Thomas, Welker, Danny Woodhead, and Patrick Chung. Those were the four, I believe, that everybody cited as counting in the formula. And they gained Amendola.
Kelly.
I think he was cut. There was another one. Okay. And then here's the one I thought was weird. Everybody wrote Isaac Sopawaga. And I wasn't sure that trades counted in that.
I don't think they do.
Well, but I believe they're getting it from the write up. They have literature that, because someone actually tweeted out a photo of all of the teams. You know, they didn't have all the different players, but I wonder if that was part of something else. So it could have just been someone in error put Isaac Sopawaga down.
That's weird.
Because I was not aware. And the way Andy explained it is the way that I had always understood it. It's just unrestricted free agents net loss, and a lot of it goes into. Not necessarily performance, but the salaries that you give those agents, the games played that
salary
those guys end
up doing. Salary and play time are involved. Starts and that are involved. I don't actually think production is really involved.
No. So, in other words, Wes Welker and Danny Amendola sort of canceled each other out.
I was stunned.
Even though
we got
Welker,
a
you know, grossly outperformed him in terms of catches. But, a lot of people were opining that we would get a sixth.
Right. I didn't really understand...
And we ended up getting a fourth, so that's much better.
But you can't trade those, just in case somebody says, oh, now you have more ammunition. You cannot trade those.
But you can trade the other one.
It does help you.
Right.
It helps you.
You still have a fourth.
It gives you more picks to work with, but you can't trade that actual pick.
Right.
So the Patriots did get a fourth. It's number 140, I believe, the last pick in the fourth round.
I'm so excited.
Well, I'm trying to give the information to the people, Andy. I'm sorry.
The performance-based pay came out, and that's another program that is very strange and calculated in percentage time. And everybody will be happy to know that Tom Brady got $9,736 more than... although, in another CBA thing, those payments aren't made until 2016. They're deferred payments.
Really?
Yeah, Chris Jones and Joe Villano were over $200,000 in performance-based pay.
That's a nice little chunk.
Well,
for those guys,
that's huge.
For Brady, it's like, I might as well burn this. I might get a paper cut it and open in the envelope.
Throw it in his moat.
Not going to be his moat for much longer. And we have an email of a woman who's really mad that we're not nice to Giselle.
Yeah, Debbie writes in, and she has a,
No, she doesn't.
Well, listen, she doesn't
criticizing
Giselle Bundchen, and I get it. But I think the point that we're making,
she's a fraud.
It might be crassly made, is that when you're a public figure and you make public statements, you you know, people can say whether they agree or don't agree with
it. And that's a big part of it, because she's a public figure. She's not just, you know, Steve Gregory's wife or some Joe Average wife.
Right.
She is a career model, spokesman, public figure, so she is fair game in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now,
she's not famous because she's Tom Brady's wife.
No. She's famous on her own. And that Debbie's point is that she does all this stuff on her own, and she's right about that. She's a U.N. ambassador for green something.
And then she built a $50 million mansion to flip.
And she's, you know, a business
that really
person
helps the carbon
and made this stuff on her own. So Debbie's the fact that...
So that means she's not open to criticism?
No, but she's a great business person. I don't think any of us were questioning her acumen.
No, I think she's a brilliant.
No, I think she's a fraud.
I think she's brilliant in business. Yeah.
I think Donald Trump is, you know, very successful in business. Doesn't mean you have to like him or you can't criticize stuff he does.
Right.
I think he's a fraud too.
Right. So,
they're both care too much about their
hair. But Debbie, point taken. She's a Patriots football daily subscriber.
Thank you,
daily.
Thank you for that.
So we always listen to your opinions.
No, we listen to everybody's
opinion. I appreciate
the
interaction. I just totally disagree with her criticisms.
Right. Okay. Andrew is from Tempe, Arizona. He says, leave the game alone. Why does the committee want to keep changing the game? There's absolutely no reason to change the way point afters are done. Ooh. The game has been running fine with them for quite some time, and now all of a sudden they're the worst thing about the game. So what if the kickers make them 99.9% of the time? What if the offense starts to get first downs all the time? Are we going to make it so that you have to go 40 yards to get a first down? Why don't we make it more exciting by making it so that you have to jump through rings of fire to score a touchdown?
No, Lions.
Leave the game alone. It has been fine with point afters, and it will continue to be fine with point afters. If they want to change something, why don't they get better officiating since it cost us two games last year?
I swear to God I didn't write that.
You could have. Here's something I was thinking about the other day. I get what Andrew's saying. I hate, you know, tinkering and all that stuff, meddling with. But can we all agree that the NFL is at the height of its popularity, right?
So far.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could get more, but right now it's never been more popular.
Okay.
Can we also agree that the NFL has always tinkered with the rules?
Yes. Sure.
So can we draw a correlation that the fact that they've always tried to make the game better and make the rules better and – you know, the way the game's played better, help toward making it the most popular game in the world?
Marginally or minimally, maybe, but no.
Okay. In this case, I don't...
It hasn't hurt it.
In this case, I don't believe
I don't
A
that.
Plus B equals C.
You think it could be more popular?
Well, it technically could be.
Yeah.
I don't feel strongly about it either way. I don't think their tinkering has either hurt nor...
Well, I think that no matter what you're doing, in whether it's a business or going to school or playing a sport... If you're not always trying to get better, then people are going to pass you by.
See, I like that. I like the fact, your premise of they're always tinkering. I like that because my favorite sport has long since given that up in baseball. And that's one of the things I hate about baseball is, well, they did it that way in 1900, so we have to do it that way now. Well,
they added replay.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's taken...
Scratching and scrawling.
And it's taken how many years? Do you know what I mean? I mean,
well, the technology wasn't there.
To be honest with you, I'm not a huge replay advocate in general, but I think that the fact that it's taken Major League Baseball this long to institute something illustrates Fred's point. The NFL has been able to sit there and say, let's try to make the game better. I don't think, however, you can just say... Because they've constantly tried to make the game better, that's why it's better and it's more popular. I mean, a lot of people will tell you some of the rules that they've done they don't like.
Yeah, they don't always.
They still think football's the greatest.
Right. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's like when you just sit there and say, well, you know, the Chargers beat the Bengals, so the Chargers are better than the Bengals. I mean, no, just because something happened doesn't necessarily mean that A plus B equals C. It's not always the same.
All right, food's here. We're going to take a quick break. A lot of emails coming in. Still a lot to talk about here on PFW in Progress.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, mid-bite. We're here until 2 o'clock talking everything Patriots, the owners' meetings, Robert Kraft speaking, Bill Belichick this morning, Vince Wilfork's situation, the rule changes that the Patriots have proposed.
Did you see something already passed, apparently, or whatever? Blandino said that you can't dunk through the goalpost anymore.
What?
It's a penalty starting next season.
A player that scores a touchdown can't
The Jimmy Graham rule.
Why?
Because it's the no fun league.
Because
Cuban is right. It's gun. Yeah. And then the guy had to come out with a rope and eyeball it. It's
stupid. Maybe they're anticipating the addition of the 5 feet on either side, and that the dunking could affect it even more.
We do need cameras for whatever that face was you just said as you burped.
I almost threw up on myself. So I don't know. That seems silly.
And why is it 5 feet exactly?
I don't know. It's kind of
why
a
not
random.
Six? Why not? Well, it does seem like a random number, 5.
Yeah.
Sort of an odd number. And is that the limit? Have they decided structurally these things can only hold?
I don't know.
Because do you think have you not seen kicks that were more than 5 feet above the uprights?
I would say that rarely.
See, I have no idea, but I feel like I have.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that are close that go out above, they're pretty much, you know, that they split the uprights. But the long distance ones, they don't go that much higher than the goalposts.
Just so you know, I'm going to. Next year, the first one I see. Oh, Fred, that didn't go above it, huh?
And then we'll get into our argument. No, it was 4. No, it was 6. No, you know. Yeah. No, I think 5 pretty much covers everything.
Do. Bill brought it up. You're right, Bill. It's great. You're the best. 5 is right.
Thank you, Andy.
Hey, look, if it's a good idea, it's a good idea. It really doesn't matter.
Is 6 not a good idea? 6 is a terrible idea?
It doesn't matter who brought it. No, like you said, maybe it could be 6. I don't know. Why is 6 any better than 5? Why is 5 any better than 6?
I'll fall back on my own thing. Ernie has done the research, and 5 feet is enough, and he's looked at every kick. And
so then
maybe they have. You know, did anybody ask Bill specifically why now? Because a number of these are things he's discussed in the past. What did he say?
He kind of skipped around that one.
Oh, there's a shock. Are you seriously asking that question?
He says that there are things that he's spoken to the competition committee about in the past. Some of these things. Now, he didn't...
But why is he waiting?
I don't know why specifically this year they felt it important enough to take the next step and draft formal
And don't
proposals.
You think he clearly knew he was going to based on the amount he talked about this stuff during the season? Like, he was already beginning his proposals through the media.
Yeah, in retrospect, absolutely. When he talked about the replay on any play and
the PAT.
Extra point.
Yeah.
No question.
Honestly, I know you guys laugh, but... I think enough people said, Bill, you know, instead of just talking about it, why don't you submit these? And I think somebody or some people finally convinced the team and the organization to put it on paper and let's do it.
Probably Lombardi.
Could be.
He's getting credit for everything else, so we'll just give him credit.
He's changed the whole tenor of the organization.
We are going to win the Super Bowl because of Lombardi.
Yeah, we've become...
Lombardi, after all.
Along your lines, Fred, I could definitely see Bill sitting around talking about just random stuff, or, you know, this extra point... And Robert saying, "Well, Bill, if that's something you feel that strongly about, let's do something about it. Let's talk to the competition committee. It's not going to be because
which is basically what Andy said like 8 years.
But it's not going to be because a reporter said, "Well, have you ever thought about joining the company?" Because he's not going to give that the satisfaction.
Of course not.
But football, you know, it could Nick Caserio could have said, "Well, Bill, let's draft a proposal. Let's do this. Don't hit me. No, I was just an idea. I'm just throwing it out
there.
I'm
just saying.
We're just spitballing.
Well, you know who it could have been? Bill Cowher that said it. Hey, why don't you?
Those good friends, yeah.
Yeah.
Who hadn't seen each other in 14 years.
By the way, Kevin's back. He's back in the booth here. Kevin, how was your vacation in Puerto Rico?
Very good.
Yeah?
Very restful.
Did you see any hot Puerto Rican chicks?
I did.
A lot of thongs?
I didn't see too many thongs.
No?
Really?
And there was none of the topless tanning, which I heard you get in that Caribbean region. So
were you in a thong?
I was in a banana hammock.
Really?
You weren't really, please.
I'm kidding.
We just ate.
Yeah. I saw plenty of banana hammocks. More banana hammocks than thongs, I'll tell you that much.
So you had a good time?
Yeah, it was good.
What was the highlight of the trip? Okay.
JetBlue Park?
Yeah, JetBlue Park was probably the best.
It looks pretty cool to me.
From a sports perspective.
It looks pretty cool to me. Did you sit in the monster?
No, I went for a walk up there. I sat in the broadcast booths, like up high, which was a lot of fun.
Which out could take down?
The low light was I
coming back.
I told Fred the bucket list. I climbed a palm tree in Puerto Rico and got a coconut, and then ate it, and then was literally on the toilet for 8 hours the next day.
I thought that was good for you. I thought coconut water was all the rage.
I must have got a bad one.
Yeah, I used to eat them right off the tree.
So it was one of the things I wanted to do, and
he's more of a gorilla than a monkey.
It was a low tree, but I paid the price, man.
Thought that was like an up and coming, like super liquid.
No, you can buy them. You buy them in the grocery stores down there. You can buy them like everywhere. And I thought, oh, this will be fresh. It's like getting a banana.
Did you like right crack it like they do with that big knife?
I didn't do it with the knife. I was Gronk spiking it 3 or 4 times, and then I got a crack in it, and then I was able to rip it apart.
What era is this? He climbed a tree, ripped out a coconut, and smashed it on the ground.
Actually,
you're not on Survivor.
At parts of Puerto Rico, Andy, you feel like you are. It's pretty.
I thought it was pretty nice. I thought there was. Aren't there like a big old like military forts and stuff?
There's a lot of U.S. military like presence there. Yeah. When you're driving around, it's very. I'll say it's very poor. It's an impoverished area.
It's Puerto Rico.
It's too bad. But they just throw their trash everywhere, which is interesting, which I don't get. Literally, you see people come out of the convenience store, buy a pack of smokes, you know, take the wrapper off and just throw it.
That's not good.
You're driving down the street and you're looking at this guy mowing the county soccer fields where your kids would play if you lived there, and he's literally mowing trash because so many people just throw their trash. He's like cutting up McDonald's bags.
Not exactly making me want to go to Puerto Rico.
No, I wouldn't go back. I mean, I crossed it off the list. I've been there, done that.
You should have used that as a hopping spot to the Caribbean.
But that's the thing. I would do that, but it's a nice place to like visit once, but it's not a place where I would want to like bring my kids or like own a like retirement condo or something like that.
All right. Well, thanks, Kevin. It's good to have you back.
Fred's ready to move on.
Chris didn't screw it up too bad.
Man, he did a fine job. Right.
Yeah, Chris was okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Train ran on time.
Good.
We haven't discussed about Bill Belichick undressing Ben Volen this morning.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. Bill.
You think it was an inappropriate question.
Inappropriate. I just think, I don't think
it was. God forbid we talk about the star tight end in any timetable he has
for return. I don't think it was inappropriate. I just think, you know, he's not going to answer that.
Right. So then no one should ask him any questions.
No, there's a better way to ask it.
Because he doesn't answer any.
How is Gronk doing with his rehab?
Good.
You know, okay,
I don't know.
That's a better answer than, are you seriously asking me that question?
Why? We know he has a timetable. We know doctors give timetables. Everybody gets a timetable when they go to the doctor. We also know Bill doesn't want to answer that. So Bill can say, you know, we don't know when
Gronk is going to return.
But to be as, what's the word Bill wants to
use? Belligerent.
Used? Belligerent as you can be. Like, Bill was the aggressor in that unnecessarily.
Oh, yeah.
Unnecessarily.
I have no problem with it in this
particular
case.
And by the way, not like my pet buddy is Ben Volen. We've butted heads with him, too.
I don't think Ben meant anything by the question, like hostile or...
No, but Bill did.
I don't think it was a dumb question. I agree with you that you could have asked the same question in a different way and probably not gotten undressed, but... It was certainly nothing to undress someone over.
And Ben just kind of looked at him. It was funny.
I said to Fred, if I were Ben, that would be in the back of my mind. And next time Bill answers a question with, I don't know, I'm going to come back with, are you seriously answering like that? You know, you are the $8 million head coach of the NEP.
Tough guy.
No, I would if I had a real job and didn't work here and, you know, couldn't get fired.
Jimmy Callahan.
Not a real job.
You know what he means.
We can't say things.
Ben Volen can do whatever he wants. He's not beholden to Bill Belichick and the Patriots for anything. So he would have every right, in my opinion, to fire back.
Sure.
And he won't.
Professionally, we can't say things sometimes that we may want to.
Bill in Beaver Creek writes in, so I was watching Patriots Today from Florida yesterday, and Jackie and Eric, that ray of sunshine comment was about as awkward as a pregnant nun in church. Seriously, Eric, you have to work on your game. You would have had better luck using if I told you yet. Oh. I can't say that.
Wait, now I need to know.
He says, if I told you had nice breasts, would you hold them against me? There are seven wonders of the world, and you being single isn't one of them. Did you hear that?
No, go again.
There are seven wonders of the world, and you being single isn't one of them. On a Patriots topic with the Wilfork thing, isn't he under contract? Doesn't he have to report and play out the year? Yes.
No.
Well, he doesn't have to, but he won't get paid.
No,
he
doesn't.
No,
but here's the thing.
He won't get paid if he doesn't report.
There's no doubt in my mind that if they don't release him, he'll report. My guess is he's perfectly content to come and get $7.5 million.
Right. That's true.
Am I wrong on that?
He can go Brandon Spikes. Those are optional off-season workouts. I don't have to show up until the mandatory June minicamp or what have you.
The time that he should have been holding out, he didn't. So I doubt he will now.
He can treat this year as like he was franchise tagged for $7.5 million and just show up and collect his money.
Right.
You know?
The problem with that is it's not guaranteed like the franchise is.
Correct.
Yeah, that's true.
He could show up and do all the OTAs and do all the minicamps and go through training camp. And then get Lori Malloy.
But let's not get into real-world contracts in the NFL. Because if we want to say, isn't he under contract? Yeah, and he'll play out that contract. He would be more than happy to play out that contract.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. The Patriots clearly do not want him to because he's not worth $11.6 million on the cap. So this is NFL world. Don't try to bring real world to it. And as I said, you certainly can make an argument that when he wanted to redo his contract, it was play out your contract. Now they want to redo his contract, and it's time to redo his contract. Well, what happened to play out your contract?
Yeah, and this, listen, that's just the way of life in the NFL. That's what the players deal with.
And I'm not weeping for him.
No, I'm
He's
not.
Got 50 million reasons
and
to
I'm
be
not,
happy.
I'm not weeping for him either because that this is what they signed up for. They know the rules. This is the rules. The teams can do what they want. The players can't. That's the rules in the NFL. All the other sports, they have guaranteed contracts. They don't have them in the NFL.
And if he plays hard, like Brady, he'll get $9,632 extra dollars at the end of the season.
Mike writes in that last year, Bedard tweeted in preseason that Wilfork didn't look right, and it was from the beginning of preseason.
But that's my point. A tweet. Now right. It's made out to be like it was so obvious that he sucked and he wasn't as good.
Plus,
I tweet out lots of things that I'm not willing to write a 3,000-word feature on.
But I'm also going to say this, and this is not meant, you know, one of the rare times for me, this is not meant as a shot at the writer. It's sure. Not a check. But Greg didn't cover the beat last year. He was working for Sports Illustrated last year.
He was on the bus.
He was here occasionally.
Remember, he made the little bus tour.
So if he's telling you that he didn't look good, I mean, he's basing that on a day or two that he saw him. He didn't look right, I think, to use the words. Again, I don't think there was a big hue and cry. Now, in retrospect, everybody seems to be writing it. I actually talked to Mike Reese about this a little bit, and Mike said he did remember there were people saying that he wasn't playing well, and he actually disputed it a little bit. He talked about that Jets game, and he, you know, the Jets game that Christian brought up, this, I think week two.
Where the first, I had the good analysis.
The Thursday night game, yes, where suddenly you had analysis that no one remembers, especially you. But talking about how he got pushed around at times in that Jets game, if you remember that night, that Thursday night game, Geno Smith was terrible, but they ran the ball pretty well, and they were able to sort of control the clock. The Patriots couldn't convert a first on third down that night. The offense was terrible. And the Jets hung around and hung around, largely because Bilal Powell was like chewing up 4 or 5 yards of
well,
carry.
That's the Polian game.
You know, in between.
Remember yeah. Polian, that's the one he, what was the word he used? He took some shot at the Patriots. And that's before all the injuries.
And that was before the injuries, yeah.
But what did he call him?
Susceptible to the run?
No, he said, had the.
They said uncle.
Punked him. Oh, made uncle. The Patriots
made
say
the,
uncle.
Made
that's
the Patriots
it.
Say uncle.
Yeah, made the Patriots say uncle. We had a issue, speaking of headlines, I was thinking of that because Paul used that in his headline in the paper, but ESPN had a headline that said, Robert Kraft has great idea or great something, with great in quotes yesterday, Fred. Except when you read the story and
so
any of the Robert Kraft quotes.
You went and looked at that after I told you?
He doesn't say the word great in any answer.
I don't know. I didn't see that.
There was a headline that was sort of misleading you into thinking that Kraft thought there was more hope for resigning than the quotes actually indicated, which would be fine. Headlines do that all the time.
But
in this particular this particular headline had quotes around the
great.
Words in question. I can't.
I believe it was just the word great.
Yeah.
And I went through, and he did not utter the word great
anywhere. He never said that.
So something great hope that he'll come back, something along those
yeah,
lines?
But
was
great
like great
in
admiration
quote.
For Vince Wilfork?
No, but
it doesn't matter. The word great was in quotes, and it was never in
it.
The quotes.
No, but even if the word great was used somewhere, it wasn't in the
context.
The context that it was in the headline.
And this was an ESPN.com story.
Okay.
Main ESPN page.
Well, it was Reese's thing.
No, I know,
right?
But it's on ESPN.com, so it's even,
they took
even
the
higher
ESPN
through the
Boston.
Editing process or
yeah,
vetting
I don't
process.
That, do you think that works that way? Well, how do you think that works, Fred? Like, if ESPN Boston has something they put up on the site, and the ESPN parent wants to take it, do you think they just put it on? They just put the link on ESPN.com?
They have.
But shouldn't an editor read that? And oh, we should
oh yeah, they have editors.
But it should have already been read, is yeah. I would think. That
but I just think more people could read it or should read it if it goes to the national as opposed to Reese just posting on his local blog.
Yeah.
In I feel you, like it's a little higher
in case
up.
You said it's not like this is on the real ESPN.
Right.
No.
Yeah. I don't think it gets read again.
Sam in Chicago, appreciate the discussion regarding Vince. I'm tending to side with Vince. After reading the article on Tlaib in what was phrased as shaky language for guaranteed money. I guess that was on Boston.com. I don't know when. On another
Tlaib,
note.
Tlaib was quoted in Peter King.
Peter King.
I believe last Monday.
I believe so.
Well, sometime last week.
Last week, definitely.
Saying that there was something about the contract that the Patriots offered that was shaky.
Oh, yeah. That had
shaky
to,
guarantees.
That had to do with the 46. I remember specifically they mentioned.
But he has that now.
Oh, I thought that was what he was pissed off about with the Patriots.
It didn't say specifically what he was talking about. I think he just used the word. There was some shaky guarantees or something like that.
On another note, I enjoyed watching Jackie B and Eric's report from Florida. Eric looked very comfortable on camera and had good chemistry with Miss Britton.
Wow.
I must say that Eric shouldn't be
Not too many people agree with you on that one.
I must say that Eric shouldn't be taking fashion cues from Brian Lowe and needs to get shirts that actually fit. That white shirt looked like it was one of the shirts left in Vince's locker. A little large.
Well, he's a tiny, petite little
man. Well, the Patriots
man.
Football Weekly shirts tend to run a little large.
I don't think he had one of those on, did he?
Yeah, he did.
He had a white Patriots Football Weekly shirt?
And today he had a red one.
Are we getting a new one?
Why? Something wrong with the old one?
No, we should sponsor him.
Someone should
sponsor want any.
The Bills do that.
I mean, I have enough of those.
There's a Napa.
Napa know-how?
I like those commercials.
I like the AT&T commercial. The two Geek Squad guys are like fixing the network. Did it hurt when you fell from heaven? He's just so geeky. You never saw that?
No.
You don't watch any basketball
sure wasn't
at all
Eric?
Over the last 4 days.
Sure it wasn't Eric delivering
those
that line?
Those commercials have been on literally
and for 4,000
times.
Not sure I watched any basketball this weekend.
I don't know how you can do it.
Chad Masters is the name of the coach
on
Madden that you have to choose if you want.
I thought it was any coach.
No, Chad Masters.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Who said that?
Gamer.
It's from Brandon.
When was the last time you played a game?
That was the name I remember reading yesterday.
Why would it say animated? Chad Masters? That's stupid.
Well, I was trying to think of an anagram, like what Chad Masters would...
You don't think that's utterly stupid?
Why is it stupid?
It could be the guy's name.
Smith?
I mean, it could be something as silly as that.
Why wouldn't you just put any coach or put something that kind of leads you
Chad
to...
Chad, he's probably one of the
it's
developers.
Probably his uncle
he's
or
probably
something.
A coder or something.
No, it should... That is idiotic.
Wow. He's really upset about this.
I just think it's so stupid.
You know what I feel like right now? I feel like I'm looking in a mirror. I feel like this is a Paul Rantz right here.
Or like call him Will Novacek or something. Why would you put Chad Masterson?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It is. It's moronic. It makes no sense at all.
Well, that's what they did.
Stupid.
It's probably some inside joke.
Inside jokes are stupid in video games that you're trying to sell to 50 million people.
And that's what you're trying to use to sell it? Is the
no,
name of the coach?
No, but wouldn't you want it in something that is at least relevant in some way? Not some stupid made-up name or some guy's kid or something?
What's the difference between that and any coach?
He's the coach of the NE Patriots. You know who he is.
Well, when you assign him to your team, that's where you're picking him from, the New England Patriots.
Excuse me?
On Madden, the New England Patriots coach... What's the difference what name it is? If it's any coach or Chad Masters.
A stupid made-up name is not cool.
It's not cool.
In any way.
Any coach. Now, that's cool.
And Andy knows cool.
Of course I do.
He knows cool.
I'm not Eric. Like
you didn't have chemistry.
Or wouldn't you? No, I had sex with him. Sorry, Jackie. Just kidding.
Deidre. No worry about Deidre.
Good point there. But wouldn't you do like... Will Welichek, as I said, or something like kind of a play, or now you're going to get in trouble?
I don't think you're allowed to.
I can't make, if I can find that name in the phone book, I can put it in there, just like Chad Masterson.
You can't in any way make it seem like you're, referring to it.
Why?
Because.
How does he know that my cousin's name isn't Will Welichek?
You just can't do it. You just can't do it.
Wouldn't hold up in court. Sue me.
Yeah, it would.
Sue me. Yeah. Go through it. I'll win that. You're Bill Belichick. You think you've got to be a big cojones and your big lawyers. I'm EA Sports.
It's the reasonable person rule. And any
exactly.
reasonable person would say you're referring to Bill Belichick by saying Will Belichick.
Any reasonable person would say it's stupid to call it Chad Masterson.
That's different. I'm not going to get sued
just
by
Masters,
that. I'd rather have you call me stupid
that,
than
I agree.
Get sued.
That would be dumb. Masterson, that doesn't make any sense.
I'd rather have you call me stupid than get sued.
It should be just any coach. And I think that's what it used to be. I think they must have changed it. Because I remember people complaining, how come it always just says any coach.
Right. And maybe that's why they change it to Chad Masters.
And that's better?
It's not worse.
Yes, it is. It's more stupid. It's stupider.
All right. Andy's very, very... It's just stupid.
I love it. And I'm not making fun of you at all, because there's a litany of things that don't have any impact or anything that bother me. So when someone else gets bothered by something so insignificant, I like it. Chad Masters.
Well, a lot of people verifying it's Chad Masters, Mike in South Dakota.
Well, now I need to know who the F is Chad Masters. There's got to be a story out there. Some geek who put it in. It's his son, his father, his cousin, him. I need to know more information on Chad Masters.
Knowing Andy, it'll be some kid that was dying, and it was a make-a-wish thing.
That's true. Right? You're right.
And he asked, like, can it be my name?
Literally, his dying wish.
That would be just too perfect.
And he's like, it's stupid.
No, because now...
I want to know who the F that is.
I'd be getting the story out there, and I'm helping get the word
okay.
out.
All right.
I read on Twitter today that Johnny Depp travels with his Pirates of the Caribbean costume and just makes impromptu visits to, like, hospitals
really?
And stuff.
Well, good for him. Nick says
weird.
That the image of Bill Belichick as Chad Masters is quite slender and well-built, if that makes the character any funnier. I bet they can't probably make it look like him either.
So he can't have that big boob chest thing that
you
he
can't.
With?
You probably can't, Fred.
And, right. And Robin in Alaska says maybe Chad Masters is Bill's porn name. That could be. Could be.
You think they asked him? Say, Bill, listen, yeah, we understand. Point? You know, we understand we can't use your likeness. You got a name that wants
Jake Steele.
I don't know, Jake Steele.
Chad Masters.
Did you see Curran made me laugh out loud today when somebody asked Bill, you know, the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl, does that change anything you do? And he said, Bill's response was, M-R-G-H-H-H-R-G-A. And I can see Bill going,
well, Karen asked it, you know.
What are you doing over there?
And Bill was just like, ah.
That made me laugh. That was good. I hadn't seen that.
It made me laugh.
I didn't know it was coming. That was good. Good job, Tommy. Tommy Curran.
Let's turn back to the phones, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
G'day, fellas. How you doing today?
Good.
Hi, Mike. Dan.
I just wanted to make a couple of comments and then ask a question. You've been talking a lot about the goalposts with Andy's whole idea of the goalposts moving. Just wanted to, as a comparison, in Australian rules football, there's actually four goalposts at each end, and if you kick it between the middle two, you get 6 points, and if you kick it between either set of posts on the side, you get 1 point. But on NFL, on the Sirius radio station, apparently a fan is proposing to put a crossbar over the top so it's a square, and you've got to kick it through the square.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's been pretty common. Somebody actually emailed me and said picture attached, and it was like a little kid grew a box.
Well,
with a box.
You know, it's,
thanks, I know what it would look like.
It's not a bad idea because it changes the trajectory on kicks and makes it a little bit easier to block them.
And it's,
yep, and we could have...
Yeah. Now we can have arguments as to whether or not it went through the square or not.
Now, would this appease Bill if there was a top on it for extra points?
Maybe.
I'll ask
him. We could have a McDonald's ad with trick shots with Vinatieri and Gostkowski going, you know, off the lighthouse.
Exactly.
I just don't know how football has survived all these
Vinatieri
years.
Vinatieri and David Akers did that at the Pro Bowl back in 2000-something. They were doing them from the end line, so they had to, like, curve it to go straight.
It's like a corner kick that you would score in soccer.
Yeah. Good stuff.
The my second comment is just a shout out to Ed Wheezy and all the other guys on the Elite for our first anniversary. As weird as that sounds,
yeah, you need to put that away.
Weird or I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Little Michael Sam.
Little Michael Sam. Yeah.
All right, thanks, Dan. No, thanks for the call.
I got one more question.
He's got a question. Okay. Let the man ask his question. Don't just stop at his idiotic anniversary rant.
Andy made a comment, and I thought the same thing. That with the addition of LaFell, we've now got four guys who pretty much do the same thing on wide receiver. And then there's Aaron Dobson. You know, you've got Edelman, Amendola, Boyce, and LaFell, who all play a lot out of the slot but can go long.
Well, I wouldn't include Boyce in there. He's a far more dynamic, speedy guy than those other three.
Yeah, and I don't think the LaFell is strictly a slot guy.
Well, he's
either.
Bigger.
He's 6'3".
I would put those two sort of on the edges of that.
Yeah, I mean, just he has played a lot of slot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was mostly
like
a slot.
Jabari Gaffney was tall, but he was a slot receiver.
I'm not saying they're predominantly out of the slot. So I'm just, my question about the offense this year is, do you think we're going to see a lot of all of those four guys on the field at the same time in an effort to disguise the offense, and you don't really know who's going to go short, who's going to go long, and playing a disguised offense? What do you think?
I hope not.
I have no idea.
I think you'll see four wides at times.
Yes, sure. I do too.
But I hope it's not those four.
It may or may not be.
It could be different packages. Depends on the matchups.
I don't think they know. Would they be able to answer that now either?
No.
Josh McDaniels, if you asked him, I don't think he would know.
Nope.
Is Dobson going to be healthy? Is Boyce better? For some reason, Josh Boyce couldn't be active, so I'm guessing he didn't exactly pick up the offense with flying colors last year. So, is he going to know the offense? How does LaFell fit in? It's our first time seeing him here. Is he going to drop a lot of passes like his reputation was in Carolina? Is Amendola healthy? Can he get open again? Does Tom Brady even consider throwing the ball in his direction?
And where's Gronk?
And where's Gronk, Paul wants to know.
He's
on the entourage set.
I know if it comes between Brandon LaFell and Gronk, I know that might be a tough one for some people, but It's not for me.
Well, just
I want Gronkowski out there as much as he can.
Gronk probably not going to be out there early on a lot.
Well, early on.
Even if he's on the active roster and playing, my guess is he's not going to play all the time. There's going to be some sort of limitations to that early in his process.
I don't know. He's Gronk. All right, thanks,
and what does
Dan.
That mean? It used to mean like he is like this indestructible force. Now it means he's brittle. You see his brothers went to one of those super combines or whatever, trying to get back in the league.
Oh, really?
One of those regional whatever.
Just holding on, huh?
Yeah.
Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys. What's up? How you doing?
Good.
Preamble to Jay. 1 year anniversary.
Hey, man. Look, you guys make all the mockery you want. It fuels all the listeners to listen up. I mean, look, all the topics on the show continue on in terms of banter. There are countless Mama Heart jokes going on.
Hey, hey. Wait, now, what is this? Now, do I need to become more? I don't even. Is this on Facebook? Is that where this is?
Yeah,
you don't want it. You don't want to see it.
It's just a chance for all of us PFW junkies to continue the banter and the conversation that you guys.
Well, I get an assignment for you and the preamble to Jay Peeps. Can you put my link to my fundraising page on there today and give? You can win a Gerard Mayo jersey.
John in South Carolina actually has a post on that, and so we got your back, man. I think the contributions will start coming in.
He might even finish this show.
You guys roll your eyes. I just want you to know, like, that there are a lot of good things as far as show contributions that stem from that banter. So,
how do you know I'm rolling my eyes? I'm not doing anything.
I can hear the deep breaths from Fred back there. You know, when the guy's shouting out.
He's just overweight.
That's because he just ate lunch.
Andy's head's so big when he rolls his eyes, it sounds like two bowling balls.
Wah, wah, wah.
Hey, so listen, guys.
You know what? You had some good stuff there. You just.
Yeah.
All right.
So, listen, question for you guys. You know, everybody's talking about passing, but, you know, I firmly believe that we've got to have some consistency in that running game. You know, with all the personnel changes coming and going, and I think we can all agree that things are dramatically better now. You know, one thing I'm wondering about is the toughness level in terms of, you know, some of the edges some of these players have brought in the past. You know, we're without Spikes now. We're without Talib as far as swagger goes, you know, and I don't think he's tough after seeing the injuries and everything else, but, you know, there is something to be said about that mental edge that he brought. You know, you think about Wilfork, and certainly Browner's a step in the right direction. But now all eyes are on LeGarrette Blount and what's going to happen there. My question to you, simply stated, is if you had a choice between Blount and Ridley, where would you go? And do you think Ridley represents that level of toughness, you know, needed to offset the finesse?
It's interesting. I don't know if all eyes are on LeGarrette Blount. I haven't really heard a lot of people talking about him, but he's out there.
Pittsburgh, supposedly Sunday night into Monday. Also, we should talk about Maurice Jones-Drew was reportedly the Patriots are in the I have no interest in Maurice Jones-Drew.
Really?
I think he's D-U-N done.
I don't have any interest in a running back,
period. I wonder what he has left, too, but I used to love him a few years back.
Oh, yeah.
That has Fred Taylor written all over it.
If he had that damn run that he had against us when he bounced off the back of his guy and then went like 70 yards, but I think that was like 8 years ago or whatever it was.
Right.
It was a long time ago.
If he gets hurt, I mean, to me, we look at Ridley again. And that's my greatest fear. I mean, look, I love the kid's upside, but, you know, everybody talks about the fumbling. And, you know, I just feel like, man, with as much finesse as we have in that passing attack, we need to have some toughness up there in the middle. So whether it's LeGarrette Blount or somebody else, you know, I know you talked about Starks and other guys, you know, I just wanted to ask you guys, simply stated, is Ridley enough? Do we give him another chance? You know, to me, he's like that girlfriend that keeps cheating on you and you keep bringing her back, you know. You know, I just want to know from you guys, because it's been a big debated topic, you know, with the guys behind the scenes as far as whether or not Blount is worth his weight on a regular contract. You know, I don't want to break the bank on the dude, but... you know, I just want to hear you guys take, and I'm going to get going. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, thanks, Chester.
I don't think it's going to take breaking the bank to bring Blount back.
No, I don't either, but I do think that the Patriots need more than Ridley.
Yes.
But they're not going to go into his, even if they lose Blount, they're not going to go in with just Ridley.
Oh, I know.
Plus, you have to start thinking about life after.
You're going to have to pay somebody.
But you're into the contract year for Vereen and Ridley.
Yeah.
So it's not just the now for this year. It's, well, where are we going? Kind of, do we need to somehow? For example, somebody said, you know, they've seen a lot of mock drafts and Andre Williams is available at 29, to which I said in 39 and 139. You know, would drafting a running back be more a plan because
third or fourth round
that
sure.
gives you the backup now and
yes.
insurance moving forward?
Why not? I mean, I think that that's what you want to do because
I'd rather do that than
I don't want to
Maurice Jones-Drew,
and I'm not interested in giving running backs
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh.
That's good. Should I tweet it?
I'm not interested in giving running backs the second contract. I'll let other teams do that. You know, the Titans gave Chris Johnson the. That's great. I'm not interested in paying money for a running back.
I am interested in getting the guy that would want a second contract. I would love to have the guy coming off like the 2,000-yard season who now thinks he's worth X million, because that means I had a guy who had 2,000 yards.
What?
I want the running back where I would at least have it to consider giving him the second contract.
Oh, yeah, see, I don't.
We don't get to that point with anybody.
Right.
We've never had a running back last long enough to be good enough.
Well, Kevin Falk.
Really?
He's lasted a long time on this team.
First of all, he's not on this team.
I'm talking about like 2,000 yard
an elite runner.
Oh, yeah.
We've never had that opportunity.
We don't toss him out after 4 years all the time, is what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't matter. We drafted Lawrence Maroney in the first round. He never got to the second contract.
The young guys that we've had, we have tossed out.
I see what you're saying. You'd like somebody that good.
I'd like to even have that become a consideration.
I got you. Yeah. The question, would you want Blunt or Ridley? I'd say Ridley at this point. But
same.
Yeah, but not. You know, he brought up the girlfriend comparison. It's not only that she keeps cheating on you; she's really not that attractive. You're not even really sure why you keep bringing her back.
Yeah,
she's not as good as you make her out to be in your mind.
Well, that was the Kenny Britt thing for me. He's not worth it.
I agree with you on that. You know, the more I looked at his numbers post surgery, the more I was, you know, this is a guy we're going to make an exception for. He's not a special talent anymore. Yeah. It doesn't look.
And it's same thing with they were talking about Richie Incognito yesterday on the radio. You know, will he play again in the NFL? He probably will, but he's not that good where you need to take that
A very
risk.
Flawed argument. No one wanted to talk about that.
Right.
Dale Arnold.
Right.
I don't believe he will. You're missing the point.
Right.
If he were John Hannah, he would be.
Right. You know?
For scheduling purposes, when you click over after PFW, 3 o'clock WEEI.
Oh,
you'll
be on
Dale
EEI
Arnold
today?
What do you want me to say to him? I'm going to make fun of him?
You know, I'm talking like golly diddly doodly.
I think you should just attack him like a pit bull.
I don't think he could take it because I didn't do anything.
I didn't
do anything and he called me fat.
Right.
Just so you know, if I were you, I wouldn't do that because my guess is that you would never be on again because he would complain to
the powers that be. Oh, no, the fans would love it, though.
They would, but he would never be on again.
Oh, but if they're
so
smart,
you know what he would have going
for a vacation?
You make him cry today. Make him cry.
I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I wouldn't take that.
I won't be doing it. Taking advice from this guy?
There would be such
taking a career advice from this guy
of people saying we want more Andy Hart. They would have no choice but to bring you.
You're
back.
Never going to find out.
Yeah, you'd get 11 people saying we want more Andy Hart.
Right.
Just picture me in that chair today and go after him like a pit
bull.
Well,
I won't hold back. If there's reason to go after him, I'll go after him like I normally would. But I'm not going to intentionally just.
But there should be a reason.
I don't know that to be true. If he doesn't say anything stupid, then there won't be a reason.
Well, I'm going to guess that he's going to say something stupid. Or.
You really don't like Dale Arnold.
Oh, I think he's a.
Well, if he starts
buffoon.
To talk about Bruins, are we going to talk about hockey here?
Well, I mean, they did just come off 12
games. Get him going.
Streak.
Well, that
very
would,
good game.
That
last
would be
night.
You being.
I actually watched Wire to Wire, by the way, because I knew I was going to be on.
It's a great game.
It was a great game. They're back to their power play sucking again. Different kind of sucking now, but they suck.
Yeah, they had a tough night last night.
They had that power play to open the third period where I don't think they got a shot, and they barely could maintain possession
but
of the
then
puck.
But then when they had to have one, they got a power play goal.
And they still lost.
They lost.
Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, my bien, y tú? Well, I was just going to make a donation for the
lunch fund?
The lunch fund as well as...
Oh, nice.
The marathon, but, you know, with this type of welcoming and...
Oh, I love you. I was speaking your language.
Don't give him a penny.
I was speaking your language, the French Spanish.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. I didn't know that I changed my origin.
Right. He's from Belgium.
I know. I merged it all together.
And my mom is Italian, so it makes me half and half, but, you know, I didn't know where the Spanish came from.
That's just the only language I really know.
Okay, that's fine. Then you're forgiven. So, yes, the lunch fund. You know, anytime I can slide into the schedule with Kevin, and I'd be happy to oblige.
Okay, well, we appreciate that very much, and he'll probably screw it up, so we'll never probably get lunch.
No, that's not true. I tried to do it last time, but...
Chris screwed it up. I know.
I can't say that. I don't want to throw people under the bus.
I can.
I said it for you, Olivier. That's okay.
He's a monkey.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. We know you got our back.
When someone asks you to do something and then you don't reply via email, it is what it is. But anyway, what's going on with Allen? Do you think we still have a chance? Do we have a chance?
As long as he's not signed, I would not close the door. I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm not saying there's a chance.
No. I think as long as he's not signed, there's something that is causing him not to sign.
He has
someone.
A number in mind. And unless, as Keyshawn Johnson said, what was it, $5 or a dollar or whatever? I don't think that's the number. He's not going to come here for the number because we're not going to give him the number.
Yeah.
And the number's not 69.
Okay.
My guess is the number is like $10 million for guaranteed money or something.
$10 million. Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I want him more than any player right now. I think he is the key player. I would trade Wilfork for him. I would do whatever I had to do. I think he could change this team dramatically. But let's move on.
But
it
does
ain't
he want to come here, though?
I don't think so.
Do you think he prefers to go to Seattle?
I would. They just won the Super Bowl.
It doesn't sound like he wants to go anywhere. Right. Specifically, he wants to play for a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And I don't blame guys for that.
Must have banked a lot of money.
Oh, he got all of that, yeah. that big money deal, like $60 million or yeah. whatever that was.
And not spent a lot of it. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, I mean, what's he going to spend it on? Shotguns and beer cans?
For you, it's beer. I mean,
yeah, but beer's not that expensive.
But you think that's all he does all day?
You can't
beer.
Blow $60 million on beer.
Like, oh, Paul?
No, no, not even Paul could.
Yeah.
Not even he could blow it on beer and Pepsi.
I'll guarantee you. You drink more beer than I do.
Over the course of a year?
Absolutely.
No way.
Over any time period that you want to measure.
Really? How often do you drink per week, Fred?
Never.
Never? You never just go home and have a beer?
Then maybe we drink the same amount, because I almost never drink.
Yeah, I never do.
I like to have a beer occasionally. I've told myself now, because I used to drink soda, that it seems like beer is healthier, so I go home and I'll have a beer instead of a soda.
Yeah. Oh, definitely is healthier.
So that's what I've gone with.
Grain, hops, barley, wheat.
I'm not sure it's definite.
Alcohol?
But you get these studies every once in a while that, you know, alcohol daily in low amounts
right.
keeps you from having a heart attack
helps
or this
your blood
or that.
Stream.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
So
Olivier will tell you that, right, Olivier?
Beer.
What's that?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
Yeah.
You drink daily, right, Olivier?
I'm sorry?
You drink daily, right?
Yeah, I drink wine daily. Yeah,
red wine or white?
European.
Red?
Red wine.
That's what's supposed to
be. Keep the doctors away.
A bottle? I don't think that's what they say.
By the way, since we're talking about wine, I wanted to give you a quick anecdote about your favorite player, Paul. Drew. Yeah, so I bought some wine from his winery, and I don't want to make any advertising, but it's fantastic wine. So
good.
Yeah. It's one of the
Drew knew something about wine.
Washington I've ever had, and I dropped your name, Paul, in one of my conversations with. Listen to this. In one of my conversations with the managers over there, and I say, hey, listen, I mentioned your name and so forth, and basically, I was trying to get the 2007 vintage, which was difficult to get, and because I dropped your name and I dropped the PFW names and so forth, Drew basically accepted to send that case to me, and he signed all of those bottles, so I thought it was fantastic.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, because you dropped my name.
I have.
That and a credit card got it done.
Exactly. That and whatever it cost got
day.
It done.
Take care.
See you.
All right, thanks
Olivier. Thanks for the nice words.
I'll bet you your name had something to do with it, because, like you said, that vintage was very hard to get, so they don't...
Was a good year, 07.
Yeah, they didn't send it to everybody.
I'll bet you Drew doesn't know my name.
Come on.
Speaking of Drew, at last check, Patriots Nation in the QB bracketology greatest ever had Bledsoe beating Aikman in the opening round.
Good.
And I just want to state it.
No, he shouldn't.
He was a better quarterback.
If he was on Dallas, he would have won three titles.
Absolutely.
Too,
right?
Three interception titles?
Just for the record.
I think Bledsoe...
I did not vote in that. I know as Eric was joking around earlier, you know, my Twitter was blowing up. Yeah. People suggesting that I voted like 130.
Like he was the only
times.
Voter.
I just kept voting.
Again, a terrible thing from the NFL. It was terribly created.
I couldn't even submit my votes.
Yeah, did you click on the green thing?
Yeah.
That submits it.
Oh,
there's no submit button.
Oh, okay.
It just does it automatically, which is why it's terribly designed.
Yeah.
First of all, it launched and didn't work for like a day. First, it launched late. It was supposed to open on a Thursday. It was like midnight before it worked. Then it didn't work. And then when you actually did it, you couldn't tell it was working.
Right.
Way to go, NFL.
Shows you how good
Mark Cuban's
in
right.
In all seriousness, I think when you think about who's a better quarterback, not who had more success, I think Bledsoe was a better quarterback than Aikman.
I don't know about that.
I think Aikman had, I think you put Bledsoe with Emmitt Smith and
I think a lot of guys
Michael Irvin.
I think a lot of guys could have won as much as Aikman with that team.
Yeah.
But Aikman was a pretty good quarterback.
He was, but so was Bledsoe.
No, I know. You don't have to sell me on Bledsoe.
I think Bledsoe would have had that success with Dallas at that time.
And I'm a big believer in the butterfly effect with Bledsoe. What he would have been had he been on a team that was good and he didn't get beat up and things didn't happen. If he was just on a consistently talented team.
I think if Parcells hadn't left, he would have had a much better career. Or if Belichick came in immediately and replaced Parcells instead of Carroll, I think he would have been much better. I think Carroll...
After he cut him.
Carroll was the wrong guy for that team at the time. I think that team had a lot of young talent that needed the structure, and yeah. Carroll didn't provide it.
Right. Mike in Rhode Island, I know the debate with keeping or removing the extra point is mostly behind us now, but I wanted to share my thoughts from last week. Think about the free throw in basketball. It's boring, and players have a very high completion percentage of them.
They do?
That doesn't mean we should take it out of the game. That's the problem with his argument. They don't.
Right. Of course they do.
Not everybody. You,
the best
Not
guys
like
are 90, and most guys are 80 or 70.
So it's a very high percentage.
It's not 99.5.
Okay, so that's the only thing.
Is a difference. That's
so
a big difference.
So if it was 95 instead of 90.
If it was above 90, it would start to get boring. If everybody was.
Well, I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying if the extra point was 95 instead of 99, it would.
But
it'd be okay.
Every time a guy goes to the line, it's not the same guy that goes to the foul line.
I understand
you can't
that.
Have
I'm
like
not
a designated
I'm
foul
not
throw
suggesting
shooter,
that the guy's
99%
foul throw
sure.
Shooter.
I'm not saying that the
it's
guy's
not a good analogy.
I'm not accepting the guy's analogy as being perfect. What I'm trying to get to you is, so instead of 99, it was 95, then you would say leave it alone.
I think if it was up there, if it was above,
the extra point.
If it was 90.
The extra point, if it was 95 instead of 99%.
No, I'd still say you probably look
okay,
at
so what's the number, 90?
Over 90, yeah.
No, he wants whatever the number was in 1912.
It's foolish. I mean, we've gone through this
I actually
many,
was
going to
bring up the free throw in a different light. It's called a free throw, and yet people like Shaq only get it 60% of the time. So should they move it closer using Bill's logic? It's supposed to be free, and he's not even getting it. So move it closer. It's not fair. Like, that's the kind of tinkering I don't care for. It feels like tinkering.
I just think you
tinker, tunker, too.
Because they've gotten so good at it, you need to legislate it out of the game. That, to me, makes zero sense.
I agree. You know? What's the same thing with passes?
I mean,
you know, if you
it
complete
to be,
70% of your passes, do we now have to change rules because yeah. It's not fair?
It
oh, no, we like that. We like
scoring.
It used
to be 50% was good. Now 70% is good.
He also had a good little rant in there about not being able to block the kicks either. The side
yeah,
rant is.
That was good.
You can't overload a side. You can't block the center. You can't land on anybody. You can't push anybody. Like
right, right.
That.
Right.
Like,
maybe if they let us block it.
Right. I mean, block it. I mean, really, now it's just
I think
terrible,
the best
right?
line he had the whole breakfast was, you know, about the cameras. It goes, they got cameras everywhere. You know, if a guy spilled beer on somebody in the third level, I mean, we can't put, you know, that was a good one.
Well, I agree with them on the cameras, and I agree with them on the ability. I'm not for expanding replay to every play unless they do it the way college does, and it doesn't have to be the stop, the hood, and all that stuff.
Right.
But I agree with Bill. I mean, if any play can be the most important play
should
of the
be.
Game, so you should be able to pick and choose the one that you say needs to be
I was actually
I
thinking to pay for the cameras. What we'll do is we'll just put a cap on coaches' salaries and anybody who's above $4 million right now.
You're not the first person to say that, by the way, today in this building.
Guess who? Really?
Yes.
Who said it?
I'd rather not say.
Did you know? Forget it. I probably shouldn't say it.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
We're both there on the side of caution.
But mine's like interesting, but I just probably don't need
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata. Wants to know, when you hear so-and-so pass their physical, what does that entail?
Nothing.
A checkup by the team doctor or an actual physical workout?
Oh, a checkup by the team doctor. But yeah. It can include workout stuff. Like the conditioning run is considered part of the Patriots pre-training camp physical.
Correct.
But physical is a very loose term.
Yeah.
By, you know, the old saying, you know, so-and-so failed his exit physical after the season. Some people believe you could fail any player who played in the league this season. If you wanted to.
Sure.
It's sort of like the Roger Saffold thing. He was failed by the Raiders because he has a shoulder issue that may or may not be a problem down the line, but the Rams are okay with it. They have different, and there's injured players.
Yeah, and
you know,
for example,
Darrell Revis went to Tampa Bay via trade last year and clearly passed the physical for the trade to be enacted. He was coming off an ACL, so he was not 100%, but they wanted him and they were comfortable where it was going. But they could have, if they didn't want him, if they wanted to somehow avoid that trade, they could have failed him on the physical.
And just so you know, if the Jets didn't make that trade but wanted to get out from under that contract, they could have failed him on the
right.
physical because you're only liable on that injury through the end of the league year. Then the next year starts, and you can cut a guy. Now, a guy like Revis may have had some language in his contract. I'm just talking, forget about any specific clauses that a guy might have.
But it's a very loose.
It is.
Medical, doctor, team, individual.
Andy, you said that anybody who played in the league last year, my guess is that those doctors could find something wrong with anybody that came
pretty
in
much.
And said, listen, this
like
loose,
you.
There's some
Achilles?
My Achilles.
That's not as, it's too tight. It, yeah. It never, you know, reached its elasticity.
There's some looseness
you?
In the knee here.
Your heart will never make it.
He's such a jerk. Why don't you just go across the table and pound him into submission? That we need the cameras for. People need to see that.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, writes in, I love it when Fred calls me Big Jim. I hope
I don't believe he's
doing...
ever done that.
DeSean Jackson telling teammates that he will stay with the Eagles after having a conversation with Chip Kelly, by the way.
Big Chip.
I don't think we had mentioned anything about DeSean Jackson in this particular show. Just throwing that out there.
I hope you're all doing well. No, long time no speak. Quick question on Revis. How does winning or losing the Super Bowl affect our chances of re-signing him? Is it simply a game of dollars for Revis?
I believe that to be the case.
Does winning or losing the Super Bowl? How do we lose? If we go to the Super Bowl and lose or are close, maybe he's inclined to come back. I think if he wins it, he's even more dollar hungry because now he's got his ring. Now he knows what it's like.
But now we don't care.
Right.
By we, I mean Patriots Nation.
Correct.
I just think that he strikes me as the kind of guy that is going to take the most dollars he can get. And I it sounds like I'm criticizing. I'm not. You know, that's an individual player's prerogative. Sure. I think that he will go to the highest bidder.
How much is enough? I like that question.
I don't know.
I know I don't have enough.
I know I don't have enough, so I don't even know a number that I could that
Lots
I could throw out.
Lots of people emailing
there.
In Eric wondering when the schedule will be coming out.
In the next 2 weeks, according to Robert Kraft.
Yes.
He said that yesterday.
Yeah, he said the next
Which
couple
means
of
it's
weeks.
Already done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I also...
And he already knows we're playing the Broncos in November.
Or December.
Right, or December.
So I would absolutely take that one to the bank.
Because he knows that Peyton Manning in Foxborough, in what is likely to be a windy, cold December or November
Night.
Game... Right. He can't hang.
Plus, my...
It's unbelievable that they'll get that,
This will
though.
Be the year that he falls off.
And by the way...
Yes, Andy.
Your god, oh, Patriots sports media, Jerry Thornton, in a tweet... said the Patriots are not going to sign Blunt. They are going to replace him with NoSean Marino.
Oh.
He has that under whatever.
What do you think about that?
I think
that?
That's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. But you think he's the god. He knows everything. He's always right. He knew they were going to sign Browner before they signed Browner.
In Fred's defense, I think the emailers were saying
I didn't
not
say
Fred. It.
I also had a conversation about him with somebody this morning, and I go, well, you know, he's a comedian by trade. He is? Then how come he's not funny?
Really?
Yeah.
Who said that?
I can't say.
I'd rather not say.
No. Somebody.
I haven't even talked to him.
Outside the realm of PFW.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut on the PFW, on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Dave.
On the PFW.
We sponsor us.
What?
You're breaking up, Dave.
All right. We'll go.
You know?
Let's go to Brian in Ontario. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
You know what? We've been talking a lot about that. You know what? I was going to say, how are you guys? But you guys have already said how you are.
Right. We've told people we're good.
Yeah,
thanks for that polar vortex, by the way.
Yeah, it's been awful up here, truly awful. But you guys have got it even worse. So.
Yeah, we know. We're going to get a blizzard on freaking March 20, whatever today is.
Yeah, 25th, yeah.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. We're going to get some that's not that.
You're supposed to. You're in Canada. It's supposed to be cold.
Yeah, but we're sort of
hot,
in a different part. We're in actually, you know what? We're at the same latitude as parts of California, so we miss a lot of what you guys get.
I don't know that.
Anyway, I was going to talk about the offense, and I don't know, I guess I'm a little bit of a pessimist or something, but I'm thinking about the offense this year, and I'm going, okay, well, we got LaFell, but we talk about him, or it's been talked about him that, I mean, really, he's... What borderline jag is what I've heard. I don't really necessarily know that much about him, but we've got a lot of guys that really couldn't stay on the field last year as guys were counting on this year. I mean, Edelman had a great season. That's his first full season, is it not?
That's correct.
Yeah. That is true.
And we've got Gronk, who we hope to be ready for opening day. We hope so at what, maybe 85%?
Are you seriously asking that question?
I don't know.
He's joking. That someone asked Belichick a question about a timetable today, and that was Bill's answer.
But no, you're right. We're hoping that he is capable of playing relatively early in the season, even if he's not good.
Right. And then we go back to, no, then we got Amendola, who we hope is going to be healthy. And
on the Mendola.
And Boyce, Amendola, sorry. Who we hope is going to be healthy. And Boyce, who didn't get much work last year. Like, we're planning a lot of, putting a lot of hope on guys that really haven't been able to stay on the field and produce.
Yes, that's 100% accurate. And the only guy the leader of that, I mean, you have to think, based on history, isn't going to be in Edelman, right? I mean, he had 5 years. He stayed on for one and couldn't for four, so he's due to not be on again.
Yeah, so I'm
you're right. We're screwed. 6-10.
No, I'm not going that way.
If Gronkowski is part of the equation more often than not, then I wouldn't really have any worry. Then you're going to be like last year.
No, but what does that mean? No, because you loaded up on points, you won games, right. You were a far better team.
12-4 with a very flawed offense that will get you
1-12 on third down, I mean,
yeah, I think
and a much better defense.
Who said that?
I don't know, you know.
You don't think it will be?
I have no idea.
I think you've upgraded.
Right now.
You've upgraded at left cornerback.
I don't know that.
Okay.
You've upgraded at left cornerback, there's no doubt about
that. Nobody knows for sure.
Revis is better than Tlaib.
You have a hole at safety, right?
Correct.
What do you mean you don't know?
Why, because they got rid of Steve Gregory?
You got rid of your starting safety, so yes, that would imply you have a hole at safety. There's a reason he was your starter, and there's a reason they're called backups, as Bill Belichick likes to say. Daron Harmon is a backup. Steve Gregory was a starter.
He'll be fine.
Last year.
You didn't say they would be fine. If you had said the defense would be fine, I don't know if anybody would argue with you.
Buddy of mine was, what's that?
No, I was talking to
Paul. Just
Paul was just flying off the handle, as he's wont to do.
I didn't know if my cell phone's cracking up. But anyway, last year I was this guy, a buddy of mine, who said he was trying to get into football for years and whatever, and said, you know, let's start watching games at my place, whatever, because I don't even have cable. So we're watching games. He said, you know, just sort of teach me the nuances and that kind of stuff. So we're watching Patriot games basically all year. And this is a guy who doesn't know that much about football. And honestly, like, he's going, what's going on? Like, why can't they convert third downs? This is a guy who doesn't know much. And he's like, why can they not convert third downs? And conversely, he's like, why can't they stop them on third downs? And I'm like, you know what, man? This is a question everybody in Patriot Nation is asking themselves. But I got to admit that last year, third down on both sides of the ball was, like, ugly. Game in and game out.
Yeah, for a while, especially on offense, they were just terrible.
It's
they
very simple.
Convert.
Playmakers. Yeah. I mean, it's what we've talked about for 3 years.
Exactly.
Third down is when plays need to be made.
That's why I
and
do
we still
feel
don't
like
have them.
I feel like
you're
they acquired.
Right.
I do feel like they acquired one on defense, though, with Revis. I mean, I think now you could argue that Tlaib was one of their few playmakers last year, but I do think that Revis is better.
So
than,
you 20% upgraded over one of your best playmakers. That's good.
Yeah,
but
and I don't share the enthusiasm the rest of the way that everybody else does. I don't think the defense has been transformed.
Now, is Jamie Collins a stud linebacker? Is he the guy we saw against Kobe Fleener and the Colts?
Or the guy we saw against Julius Thomas?
Do you think that Jamie Collins is going to be better on week one? In 2014 than he was week one in 2013. Of course he is.
I do.
But will he be better than
Jamie
he was
Collins,
in week 17?
And is he better than Dante Hightower, who was playing outside in week one?
But I think
because
Hightower progressed as the season went on as well, and I think he's going to be a better player.
He is. But is the sum of those parts
and
on,
I think Jerron Mayer
is going to
be healthy, and I think Tommy Kelly's going to be back, and I think
Chandler Jones is going to be a
year better.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so sure about Tommy Kelly.
You're not sure about Tommy
He's coming
Kelly.
Off a torn ACL. I'm not just going to write it in that a 30-something-year-old guy off a torn ACL
is
going to be better
fine
than he
before
was.
He went on IR. He said, I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
So that's...
Thanks for the call, Brian.
And
from
you're
Ontario.
Also...
Get cable. Don't actually. My bill just went through the roof. Don't get cable. Don't ever make that mistake.
You're making an assumption about guys getting better. You said, you know, from week one to... And I think those guys got better, but now you're making an assumption that they'll get even more improvement coming from last year to this year. I want to see them play before I just automatically say Dante Hightower is a better player than the guy who finished the season last year. I agree with you. I thought he played much better down the stretch last year.
How will you judge the defense in the first 3 weeks? Eye test or by statistics?
Eye test.
Always eye test.
Right. I agree.
Because I don't know who they're playing. If they play the first three games that they played last year, and you're just going to get all excited when they get up 10 points a game again?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean,
they could shut out the Broncos, the Packers, or whatever, and Paul will be like,
"Don't you think that's a lot
impressed?
Don't you think that's a lot different?"
Just like he wasn't last year.
But don't you think
you're never happy, and he always thinks
it's
fine.
But don't you think it's a lot different?
And I'm objective.
Oh yeah,
Yes or no? Is it different?
It's a lot different.
You know,
yes.
having a really
yes.
good, strong yes. game against a
yes.
good offense?
That's obvious, yes.
But they gave up a lot yes. more yards yes. against Atlanta. Don't you think they played better against Atlanta than they did yes. against Tampa Bay?
That was one of those statistical games where they were fine.
They played well that
Talib
night.
Talib even won, but because what's-his-name had a long catch late and everything, it kind of threw everything out of whack.
Now, I thought eyeball test against Atlanta, they played much better than they did the first three games. Statistically, not even close.
Correct.
All right, well,
that's it?
Yeah, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Sorry if I didn't get to your email or your call.
I hung up on you.
We'll be back on Thursday with another edition, maybe some more news coming out of Florida.
Maybe some more throw-up coming out of Fred's mouth.
I assume Eric will be back.
So, I wouldn't assume that, knowing how he works.
Well, really? Plus, we got a blizzard coming in, according to Andy.
The hills of North
Good thing Providence. We don't have a show tomorrow. You might not see me. All 50-mile-an-hour winds and a foot of snow.
We'll see you Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.